using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
It's Wednesday, the 8th of September, year of our Lord, 2021, day 543 of the world held hostage, beginning here in America, beginning with our creation of these jabs. And so today we're going to take a look at the fact that the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights now have a warning label on them, put on them by our government. Now, they pretend that this is because it is racist and sexist and ableist and all the rest of the nonsense, but reading the Constitution is going to be very dangerous to them, and we'll tell you why when we come back. Stay with us. Yes, if you go to the National Archives website, the Marxists of the Biden administration have now taken that over. It's not really clear when this happened, but we now have labels at the website that mark the Declaration of Independence and other things as all of our founding documents as harmful language. This was brought to the public's attention by Congresswoman Lauren Boebert of Colorado. Also had Ken Cuccinelli, a former Deputy Homeland Security Secretary in the Trump administration, noticed it on Monday. Both of them noticed it on Monday. As Cuccinelli said in a tweet, he said, "Are you kidding me?" It wasn't a joke, however. This is not the Babylon Bee to put a harmful language alert on. No, they are clear what they want to do at the National Archives. They made it clear, the National Archives and Records Administration, NARA. Their statement said it's potentially harmful content. They also defined that as racist, sexist, ableist, misogynistic, misogynoir. I don't know what that is. Is that like something like film noir? I don't know. Xenophobic opinions and attitudes, discriminatory towards or to exclude diverse views on sexuality, gender, and more. That's right. As a matter of fact, this morning, The Hill is very upset, or The Hill reported, should say, that the Biden administration is very upset. But The Hill is probably upset as well because, you know, they're establishment mouthpiece. But the Biden administration, Secretary of State Blinken, is very concerned about the all-male government in Afghanistan. That's what you got to be worried about with the Taliban, is that they're all male. It isn't all the rest of the stuff. It isn't the door-to-door executions and beheadings. No, no, no. It's the fact they're all male. It was unclear when the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights were labeled as potentially harmful back in July during the traditional reading of the Declaration of Independence on the anniversary of its adoption, July the 4th. NPR, National Public Radio, added a disclaimer for the very first time, saying, quote, "The words in the document land differently after last summer's protests and our national reckoning on race." In a series of tweets in July, NPR said the Declaration of Independence contained, quote, "flaws and deeply ingrained hypocrisies." You know, kind of like NPR and the Biden administration and the rest of these politicians. Deeply ingrained hypocrisies, these people. Swearing to uphold, as a condition of their authority, a document that they now say is racist because everything they hate they label as racist. They've eviscerated the term racism. Racism is real. Racism exists. Racism is something we should not applaud. These people have made a mockery of all of that. Nobody takes it seriously anymore. You can't even shame people by calling them a racist. It's almost become a badge of honor because it is just used as a political weapon. And it identifies the people slinging those slurs at you as someone who doesn't have any way to debate you or argue with your position. They just want to vilify you personally. They said that they focused on the line, merciless Indian savages. Well, that was true. That was true at the time. But I think today we do need to update that. I think we need to change Indian savages. I think we need to change that to merciless Antifa, merciless BLM, merciless public health dictators who have no mercy and have decided that they're going to destroy everything in our society. No one's lives or liberty or property are safe from the CDC, from Fauci, and the rest of these corporate shills. So maybe we should update it. Merciless corporatists. Merciless Marxists. Can the media survive without half the population? Asks Jonathan Turley. It's become so biased, and of course we all understand, and he goes through the calculations here. He says, can it? Well, I would just repeat Obama on this. Yes, it can. No problem at all. I'm surprised that Jonathan Turley even asked the question, because we've seen how this worked out in the Soviet Union. Nobody believed the press there. You had two mouthpieces, both of them working for the government. And, of course, the media can survive without our caring what they have to say or believing any of it. It survives in totalitarian societies. It survives because the government subsidizes it. And here what that will look like is the corporate fascist alliance between corporations and government will fund it. No problem at all. I mean, we can just print money out of thin air here in America. Even the Soviet Union couldn't do that. And as long as that game is being played, of course they can survive. They don't need you. They don't want you. You could ask the same question. Can social media survive by purging out anybody that they disagree with, that disagrees with the government's official narrative? Anybody they disagree with politically? Anybody that they disagree with pandemically? They don't care. They were subsidized for years by the government to operate without any money at all. That's how they got control of the internet. And so we look at the Soviet Union. They had two media outlets. They had Pravda. They had Izvestia. Pravda meant truth. Izvestia meant news. They said there is no news in Izvestia. There's no truth in Pravda. And there's no news or truth in most of the mainstream media. There's not any news or truth in MSNBC or at CNN or at NPR, any of these places. But it is simply government, corporate, mockingbird press being run by the intelligence community. But Jonathan Turley seems to think that somehow it is operating on a market basis. That somehow people decide that they're going to watch this news and they make money based on people watching them. That's not the calculation involved here. He talks about how Fox News, which is the only one to go in the opposite direction, is dominating the market. He says 5 years ago, 70% of Republicans said they had at least some trust in national news organizations. But by 2021 now, that trust is down to just 35%. So in 5 years, Republicans' trust in the corporate media, the mockingbird press, has dropped from 70 to 35. Conversely, 5 years ago, 78% of Democrats, or rather right now, 78% of Democrats and Democrat-leaning independents say that they have a lot of trust in the media. And if you look at only the Democrats, it jumps to 83%. And so then he talks about Fox News. He said they have 94 of the top 100 live telecasts on TV last month. But let me tell you that Rupert Murdoch and the Fox News Corporation is not conservative. They're just mercenary. And they will take you only so far in terms of the truth. You know, evidence of this is the fact that if you look at the Fox News programs, they were notoriously the bane of many religious conservatives for pushing the envelope further than anybody else did, if you go back 20, 30 years ago. And after they established a conservative news organization, they then decided that they would go the opposite direction for talk radio. Talk radio is predominantly conservative. So you have just the opposite situation in talk radio for the most part. So Rupert Murdoch decided that he would set up liberal talk radio. And so he had the guy that used to be the foil for Sean Hannity, Combs, and other people, try to set up liberal talk radio, and it crashed and burned. But he's simply mercenary. He simply identifies where everybody else is and decides that he will offer an alternative. It's simply a market issue. So as Jonathan Turley says, I've watched with increasing alarm as the media has openly embraced advocacy journalism, even in mainstream news reporting. And I would say the only thing that's changed that Turley doesn't understand is the fact that they're doing it openly. You always had mockingbird media. You always had people like Walter Cronkite who would tell you that's the way it is, and yet it wasn't that way. But everybody believed it because you only had three news outlets. They were all covering the same stories, and they all had the same angle on those stories, so therefore that was the only thing that had to be true, right? There was no dissent, and it was planned that way. And that is why they are dropping the hammer on social media, on conservative alternative media, because they want to get back to the situation where the only news that you hear is what the government wants you to hear, their take on everything, to give you the illusion that you're being told the truth by being consistent with their lies. And everywhere you turn, you hear the same lie. You will believe it. For example, if you look at the BBC is now admitted, several years late, that they'd filed a propaganda report about the Syrian gas attacks. They had slandered and attacked the credibility of a whistleblower who released information to WikiLeaks. BBC propaganda report from journalist Chloe, and I can't even pronounce her last, Haji Matho, I guess, smeared an OPCW, that's the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, a whistleblower. They smeared the whistleblower from OPCW, the WikiLeaks, and a columnist, Peter Hitchens, for questioning the alleged April 2018 gas attack in Douma. And, of course, it was a lie. We had the white hats that were used in these various things, and you had a couple of these incidents. And they were based on lies. Even worse were the lies surrounding the Skripal poisoning. And more absurd, too. I mean, that happened right in the backyard of the UK. It happened in the UK, but also in the backyard of Porton Down, their chemical weapons facility. They tried to tell everybody right away that it was a Russian nerve gas that is 8 times more potent than our nerve gas. And Putin laughed and said, if that's what it was, they would all be dead. You had a doctor who administered to Skripal and his daughter for over a half hour personally. She would have been dead. And we saw the pictures, we showed you the pictures of people in hazmat suits and other people standing around them. The hazmat suits were a photo op. They're all just standing, some of them in hazmat suits, some of them with no protection whatsoever, not even a Fauci mask on their face. And the absurdity of that and how long that has gone on, but what you have to take away from that is to understand Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley was right there in the thick of it as UN ambassador for Trump, right in the thick of it with Theresa May, trying to use that as a justification for us to escalate our involvement in Syria. So that, along with these, we've had multiple false flag attacks exposed by the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, and the BBC has still not admitted that Building 7 propaganda, where they do the report and the building is right over their shoulder, interestingly enough, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the week. We'll do a lot of stuff about 9/11 before. But Tony Rook, that interviewed years ago, used that. He said he brought that as a court case. He went before a judge and presented the evidence of what the BBC had done and what they had covered up, their foreknowledge and the rest of this stuff, along with other evidence about 9/11. And he presented it before a judge because in the UK you have to pay a fee. If you have a television set, you have to pay a fee to the BBC. It's a licensing tax. Whether you watch the BBC or not, you still have to pay it. And he said, I will not pay that fee because these people are complicit in an act of terror. So they took him to court. He argued the case before a judge, and the judge said, yeah, you don't have to pay the fee, which is tantamount to the judge agreeing with him. He also did a documentary film called Incontrovertible, where he put together a lot of evidence about the lies of 9/11, took it before an enlarged jury of retired judges, police officers, firemen, engineers, and they all agreed as well in that particular case that it was a lie. Last week, nearly 10 months after the broadcast, the European, the ECU, rather, delivered its finding that the BBC was wrong to insinuate that a whistleblower known as Alex was motivated to go public about his doubts over the attack by the prospect of a $100,000 reward from WikiLeaks. No such reward was ever paid. The BBC also accepted that it had no evidence to back up its claim that Alex, a highly qualified and apolitical scientist, believed the attacks in Douma, which prompted retaliatory missile strikes in Britain and the U.S. and France, had been staged. This is the one that Trump sent the missiles in. And you had Ivanka crying on daddy's shoulder. Please, please, daddy, kill somebody in Syria for me. Because we had this horrible attack that was done just as the anti-Syrian forces were about to lose a battle. He launched an attack against some of his own people. So please kill some more of them for us, please, daddy. And he did. And then the year after that, we had our, you know, it was a kind of a regular event, beware the Ides of March because the false flag is coming. And that was when they said another time that gas was used, similar situation. He is winning, and so he decides that he will do the one thing that will galvanize the West to attack him, to even send in troops on the ground, and that is to use poison gas on his own people. That was not the case. It was a massive bombing campaign, and there was so much dust that people were choking, choking to death, many of them, if it wasn't the buildings falling on them. Remember 9/11, that is still happening. You still have people dying of respiratory illness because Rudy Giuliani sent them in very quickly in order to cover up the evidence. But that's another story for another day. But in Syria, they had a doctor who said, after it came out, he said, yeah, we were treating all these people for dust inhalation. And one of the White Helmets, this is an organization, shady organization funded by NATO and these other people. This White Helmet guy comes in and screams poison gas and freaked out everybody. He said there was no such thing. Anyway, going back to this, they say, this is a major victory for the truth. The whistleblowers inside the OPCW were always motivated by strict regard for scientific truth. Far from seeking rewards, they realized their actions would damage their careers, but they went ahead and did it anyway. I do not serve any government, least of all those in Moscow and Damascus, said the whistleblower. That's an article, by the way, you'll find on Information Liberation. And he comments, how nice of the BBC to fess up now, over 3 years after the alleged attack took place. Yeah, they pushed the lie out there, they got their missile attack, and now they're fessing up. When will they confess to the lies about 9/11? That lied us into a 20-year war. And then let's take a quick look at the Federal Reserve. You know, Ron Paul has always, has not always said, but for the longest time, he's talked about auditing the Fed, auditing the Fed. What do you think we might find if we were to audit the Fed? Well, we don't know, but 11 of the 12 regional Fed banks have now published disclosures of their leaders' 2020 financial profiles. And this kind of gives us an idea of the self-interest, the corruption of these people. What is notable is that the president of the Dallas Fed, and remember they have 12 regional Fed banks, the really big one is the one in New York, but the president of the Dallas Fed, Robert Kaplan, he's a former vice chair at Goldman Sachs, where he was responsible for investment banking there. He did a stint at Harvard, and now he's at the Federal Reserve, and he is president of the Dallas Fed. Well, it turns out that he made multiple million-dollar-plus stock trades in 2020, according to the Wall Street Journal. He had a total of 27 individual stock funds or alternative asset holdings, each valued over $1 million. This is a guy who has pushed for unlimited quantitative easing. His push for, quote, keeping interest rates at zero until well into 2022 or even 2023. Because when you push for that kind of policy, you know that this money is flowing into and propping up and creating a Wall Street stock market bubble. And he's cashing in on that. You know, this is something when I did my report, It's a Wonderful Lie, on the 100th anniversary of the creation of the Fed at Christmas time. And there were a lot of people who were pushing back against that. And this is exactly what they warned. They said, by boom and by bust, these people can engineer both of those things. And they can trade on them in advance, just like Nancy Pelosi and other members of Congress, but especially Nancy Pelosi. And so if we do an audit of the Fed, we're likely to find this type of thing. He's investing in Apple, Amazon, Boeing, Alphabet, that's Google parent company, Facebook, many companies like that. Yeah, they're like countries, aren't they? Sven Heinrich said this. He said, the Fed guys are personally actively trading the markets that they influence, and they're doing it more than anything else. Go figure. When are we going to be officially declared to be a banana republic? That's the kind of corruption that we're looking at here. He said, it's bad enough that the Fed chair position is a guaranteed multi-million dollar speaking fee gig, virtually ensuring that the banks who dish out hundreds of thousands of dollars per Zoom speech are kept happy and the Fed is supported. The conflicts of interest stink to the high heaven. And this, of course, you know, speaking fees, exorbitant speaking fees, are the ways they pay these politicians off. But he says, what might be the right economic policy gets shoved under the rug, and that is the personal financial interests of those that are tasked with the decisions. That's what it's done for, to serve their personal investment decisions. He said, how about a true independent audit of all the conflict of interest within the Federal Reserve? While other Fed presidents were less active in capital markets, they too stood to benefit from favorable outcomes, reports Zero Hedge, in the markets that they control, the markets that they dominate. I've mentioned it once before, but I once had a conversation, a friend of mine, we got together on a holiday or whatever, and his brother was there, and his brother was a vice president of a bank. And he was, you know, it sounds like that's a big deal, but I've known a lot of vice presidents of banks who are essentially branch managers. They give them the title of a vice president, just managing a bank. So it's not like being the vice chairman of Goldman Sachs at all. And I don't know, somehow politics and money and stuff came up. I guess it's because I was there. I don't do polite conversation in crowds. But anyway, he said, the Federal Reserve doesn't have anything to do with the economy. This is a guy who and my friend says, yeah, see, he knows. He's a banker. It doesn't have anything to do with it. All they do is clear checks. And it's like, wow. You don't read anything at all, do you? You don't do anything outside of your little job there. Well, I know the Federal Reserve. Yeah, they're the people I send the checks to, and that's all I know about them. I said, well, you do realize they set interest rates, don't you? Do you think that has an effect? I mean, we're not talking about these guys stashing lots of money into the stock market and a plunge protection team, except that's not happening right now. The Fed is buying some of the biggest company bonds, raising questions over why. For the longest time, there were conspiracy theories that the Federal Reserve was manipulating the stock market with their plunge protection team to make things look better for particular administrations. Then after a while, they admitted that they were doing it, and of course they do that, and they say, and it's a good thing. We need to be doing this. Well, now it turns out that they're not investing in troubled sectors of the market. No, they're investing in Microsoft, Apple, Home Depot, the same types of people that this Dallas Federal Reserve president, who was formerly with Goldman Sachs, vice chair there, that same type of thing. And so CNBC even says questions have been raised over the moral hazard as the Fed is buying debt from companies that don't even seem to need the central bank's help. Yeah, they're buying up corporate paper, corporate bonds, Microsoft, Visa, Home Depot, to name a few. They said one of the reasons that the Fed is buying up some of the higher profile companies is that they're huge employers, maybe, at a time when nearly 20 million Americans are collecting unemployment benefits. That won't, however, halt concerns that the Fed is overstepping. Well, let me tell you what I see in this that CNBC doesn't. The policies of the Trump and Biden administration during this pandemic have been to eviscerate the middle class, to eviscerate Main Street, to flow money to the big Wall Street, big box retailers and other places like that for such a time as this. That's what they were doing it for. To give them more control. How do they channel that money to these people? Well, you know, one of the things that they can do is they can prop up their stock on Wall Street. They can give them contracts, government contracts, to sell stuff. There's a lot of different ways that they can flow money to these big corporations who then do precisely what they want, and that is to fire people who don't get vaccinated. Peter Schiff says, what taper? Are they going to taper off the propping? Are they going to taper off the pumping of the bubble into the economy? He said, no, the Fed will expand quantitative easing. Of course they will. He said, remember, these guys think that the economy lives or dies by the stock market. Well, certainly the fortunes of some of these insiders in the Federal Reserve do live and die by the stock market. And that's where they can make their money. And it's that kind of open corruption that, again, this should renew calls to audit the Fed. We should listen to Ron Paul. Can you imagine? And this is 11 out of 12. One of them did not do it. And I'm assuming that the one that didn't do it, it doesn't say in the article which one did not. But I'm assuming the dog that didn't bark was a really big one, the one in New York, the New York Fed. They probably did not say anything. Can you imagine what we would find if we did an actual audit? This is voluntary disclosure of this stuff, and that's bad enough. It looks like a banana republic because it is. Finally, Megyn Kelly says that she took her kid out of school. He was in a very elite boarding school. She said it was one of the best all-boys schools in the country. Why did she take them out? Well, because she said on a weekly basis, they were asking the boys if they're sure that they're still boys. This is a boys' school. Are you sure you're still a boys' school? We may have to send you over to our sister organization over here. I don't know. If they don't no longer identify as a boy, are they going to send them to a different school? But again, this is, I guess we could say, you know, who knew? Who knew? You know, Megyn Kelly looks at this. She's making tens of millions of dollars a year. Totally clueless about anything of any consequence. Like I said, you know, time she interviewed me at InfoWars, she had absolutely no idea what civil asset forfeiture, just a blank deer in the headlight. And I'd never even heard the term. They had their people coming around, preparing the show for her. And what they were doing was asking us, how do you prepare the show? Do you have like a morning news meeting where the editor gets together and tells everybody what they're gonna do and who writes your script for the show? It's like, are you kidding me? I do all this stuff myself, and it isn't scripted, as you can obviously hear. But it isn't scripted. They couldn't believe that, and so they were going around, you know, getting the script. Nobody evidently researched for her, since she doesn't do research. She doesn't even research her own kids' school. Because simply, it's highly prestigious. They charge a lot of money. It's a boarding school. Everybody says we should go there. So let's just do that. But are we really any different? Right? Do you, even though you're going to a local school, you're not paying tens of thousands of dollars, It's not some elite boarding school that you're sending your kids to. Are you doing the same thing? Are you just assuming that? Well, who would know that they're teaching them that people are evil because of the color of their skin? Or who would know that they're gender gaslighting the kids? That isn't something that just happens in the elite schools. That's happening everywhere. And you need to understand that they're not failing to teach Johnny how to read and write and to do arithmetic. They're failing to even try to do that. That is not their goal. They're very successful at what they want to do. They're very successful at turning your children into anti-God Marxist revolutionaries who are completely obsessed with sexual perversion. It's a brave new school system. And this isn't just for the people who are going to elitist schools. It's for each and every one of us. That's why you have to, at this point in time, you have to be very, very involved in your child's education, which essentially means homeschooling them, especially if you don't want to have masks put on the kids. You might be able to find some schools. You know, there's a lot of teachers who are unemployed. They may be putting together some good schools, but you better watch the curriculum. If these people want to teach to a standardized curriculum, understand where those standards are coming from. They're coming from the federal government, from the Department of Education. They're the ones who are defining this. And I read for you last week, I think it was, the National Standards for Sex Education coming out of the federal government. And that, if you look at that, and if you look at what they are pushing out of the federal government to each and every school, this is not a problem for the elitists. It may be a problem for Megyn Kelly, though, because she's on Sirius XM radio. And that is where you have the world's first open tranny CEO. That's how we got kicked off of Sirius FM radio. Not too serious, actually. We'll be right back.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
The looks like a tornado, they don't call them that anymore, that hit the crops and wetlands in the middle of the country and in Iowa and Nevada. And I mean, it's just across the board.
Tell me, doctor, where are we going this time? Is this the 50s or 1999?
Oh, yeah. Tell me, doctor, you know, what year is this? Is this the 50s? That's perfect. He's out of time, isn't he? Yeah, going back to the future. They don't call them tornadoes anymore. Tell me, doctor, is this the 1950s or 1990s? Can you show me the door? Who am I supposed to be? Where am I? What am I doing here? Biden gets a hostile welcome in New Jersey. He's doing his Hurricane Ida tour. And I can understand how he got confused about this. You know, if he asked the name of the hurricane, they said, Ida. Ida what? Ida, no, Ida. It's like who's on first, right? Evidently, he thinks the hurricane is I don't know. I don't know. The hurricane, I don't know. Is it a tornado? I don't know. So I guess that they thought it was a tornado. Anyway, President Biden on Tuesday traveled to New York, New Jersey, to tour areas that were struck by deadly flooding, but he received a hostile welcome from some of the North Jersey residents who heckled him, who flashed middle fingers, who flew Trump flags, and flags that were specifically dedicated to Biden, saying F Biden. Biden repeatedly attributed the flooding that killed at least 50 people last week, 13 of them in New York City, people drowning in their basements. He attributed it to climate change. And this is the very dark subtext to what this guy is trying to accomplish, or whoever it is that is pulling his strings. He's pushing his $4.7 trillion infrastructure and social spending bill. So just think about that. I mean, just that one aspect. This is exactly what we saw being put out there. You know, we had two dozen Democrats running for president at the very beginning. And they're all coming up with, you know, $5 trillion here, $10 trillion there, and totaling them up, you know, $50, $60 trillion, what these different Democrats were proposing, whether it was Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren or Joe Biden or Occasional Cortex or Kamala Harris. And it was considered to be insane, but that's where we are now. In 2021, we're living in crazy times. In Manville, New Jersey, a man interrupted his message by shouting, "Resign, you tyrant." Queens residents have ripped into politicians for not warning New Yorkers about the approaching storm. And so they had signs and banners saying, "F Biden and F you for voting for him," and "Biden, go back to the basement," where presumably he would be drowned by the floods. I don't know. He was introduced by Chucky Schumer. "Let me welcome," see, he said, "let me welcome the man who will lead us out of the darkness this present moment." He's still in the basement. "And help us to achieve a brighter future for Queens or New York and the whole United States of America. Our great president, Joseph Robinette Biden." Did you know that was his middle name? I had no idea his middle name was Robinette. Maybe that explains some of what his problems are. But Biden's trip also contained some confusing moments, as the New York Post put it. Let's go back and listen to what he said about tornadoes again.
"You know, the looks like a tornado, they don't call them that anymore, that hit the crops and wetlands in the middle of the country, in Iowa, in Nevada. And I mean, it's just across the board. And, you know, as I said, we're in this together."
Yeah, it hit the crops and the wetlands in Iowa, the wetlands in Nevada, the crops and wetlands in Nevada. He doesn't even know what area of the country the storm went through. Pretty amazing, isn't it? You know, when I listened to that, it reminded me of my 96-year-old aunt, who it took a very, very long time for me to try to explain to her, just in the simplest terms. You know, I'm not even trying to explain what the issues are with the vaccine. I'm not going into spike proteins or any of that, or mRNA, any of that stuff. No, I keep it simple. And I spent over an hour with her just repeating, "Don't get the vaccine. Don't get the vaccine." What? Really? What? The vaccine? They're taking this thing around. No, don't get the vaccine. Don't get the vaccine. I mean, that's where Joe Biden is right now. Thing is, I'd rather have my 96-year-old aunt, and she'd be far less dangerous. She has at least some conservative leanings. She's not, a socialist. And then he went on to have a few more confusing moments. Here he is talking about how in 2020, all of our electricity has to go to zero emissions.
"We're going to deal with climate change and have zero emissions, net emissions by 2050. By 2020, make sure all our electricity is zero emissions. We're going to be able to do these things, but we've got to move. We've got to move. And we've got to move the rest of the world. It's not just the United States of America." And so, folks, this summer alone, communities with over 100 million Americans, 100 Americans call home have been struck by extreme weather. One in every...
Yeah, there you go. See, it's something we got to do worldwide because this is a worldwide agenda, just like the pandemic is a worldwide agenda, because this is to change us to worldwide global governance by corporations and by their puppet governments. And so as he's talking about this, he's talking about we've got to get to zero emissions, zero emissions, zero emissions. Let me tell you, zero emissions is about as absurd as COVID zero. The idea that we're going to get to a situation where there's absolutely no COVID anywhere. And these are the types of policies that have been pursued in Australia, New Zealand, other places where they, Vietnam's another good example of this, where they crack down on people ruthlessly and violently and destroying everything in their life to get to a zero COVID environment. Absolutely irrational. But it provides a great excuse for the kind of totalitarian government that they want to put in. And this is exactly what they've been talking about with emissions. Zero emissions will be the same kind of ruthless, destructive brutality that we're seeing now with zero COVID. Vision zero. No traffic deaths whatsoever, which means no cars. Zero COVID means no liberty, no freedom, no dignity, no rule of law. It means a medical dictatorship. And let me tell you, zero emissions is exactly the same thing. They're now pivoting back. If they ease up a little bit over this COVID thing, they're going to lock everything that they've done in with climate change, and they're going to pivot to climate change to continue to extend this, and then they will bring back in the COVID thing because it's all the same thing. It's always the same steps that they want, whether, as I've said many times, whether they are telling you that the world is going to freeze into a solid block in a new ice age, where they tell you that we're having global warming and all the polar ice caps are going to melt, or if they tell you that we're all going to die from a pandemic, it's always the same solution. You might realize that these sky is falling Chicken Little pronouncements are nothing but lies in order to get what they want, because no matter how radically it changes, even if the climate projections are polar opposites, so to speak, of each other, these people will still push for the same policies and the same results and the same controls. And then finally we have him talking about how we are out of time.
For decades, scientists have warned of extreme weather would be more extreme, and climate change was here, and we're living through it now. We don't have any more time. I hope no one... I've been on the telephone or on the road an awful lot between California, Idaho, New Orleans, excuse me, not New Orleans, Louisiana, but in New Orleans, Mississippi, and, you know, here. I mean, every part
wherever
of the country,
I am.
Every part of the country is getting hit by extreme weather. And we're now living in real time what the country's going to look like. And if we don't do something, we can't turn it back very much, but we can prevent it from getting worse. And so we're all in this together, and we've got to make sure that we don't leave any community behind. And it's all across the country.
Yeah, it's all across the country. It's in New Orleans, Louisiana, not in Louisiana, but in New Orleans. It's all across the country. That's what he said. And we're living now in real time, and we can't leave any community behind. You know, when George W. Bush said no child left behind, I would put out in the newsletter we had in the LP, I said, you know, what he really means is no child left alone. We're going to intrude ourselves into every aspect of every child's life, and look at where we are now. Look at how rapidly that is accelerating. Now, he doesn't want to leave any community alone, not behind. Alone. He will intrude into every community with his malarkey agenda. Joe Biden blames extreme weather on global warming. And he says, we don't have any more time. It was record flooding that they had, but this is not the first time a hurricane has hit New York City. Just the right confluence of things. And we haven't been keeping records all that long. Karen and I were talking about the other day, back in when we were kids, Hurricane Donna. It was a narrow escape where I was living in Tampa, and then it went up into New York where she was and made probably a lot more damage up there than it did in Tampa. It's not unprecedented, but it is also, there's no evidence of global warming. If you remember Al Gore's movie, The Inconvenient Truth, featured prominently in that the hockey stick idea by Michael Mann, saying that we're going to have an exponential rise in CO2, and that was going to cause an exponential rise in temperatures, that the two of those things were tied together. Well, we didn't have an exponential rise, but we did have a significant rise in CO2. It did not correspond to a rise in temperature, however. And I'm intimately familiar with the Climate Gate scandal, where you had Michael Mann, and who was the American counterpart of the British scientists at the University of East Anglia in the UK. And they were passing emails back and forth to each other, saying, we've got to hide the decline. And the way that they found to hide the decline was just to invent a lot of data that they didn't have. And Michael Mann, who was at the University of Virginia, is the one who created that hockey stick lie that was used by Al Gore. See, I've seen all of this stuff done before. I've seen not only the CDC and Fauci doing this with annual flu shots, this pandemic nonsense, but I've also seen them do exactly the same thing with climate change, conspiring secretly to manipulate the data, to use bogus models to show what they want, then to use that to push for policy changes. And then when they're challenged and we say, we'd like to see your data. No, 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 you can't see my data. It's private. It's like, well, you did this while you're working at a public university. Your pay, you did it on company time, if you will. You have published your data, so there is no infringement on any of your intellectual property. And your publicized data has been used to create public policy. So we'd like to see the data behind it. And just like they're doing now with the pandemic, it's like, well, never mind. You know, that's what happened when you look at the challenges that happened up in Canada. As Dr. Lee Merritt said, you had, all of a sudden, Alberta has now pulled things back very radically. Why did that happen? Because one particular person said, show me the data to the public health official. I want to see your data. I want to see the virus, and I want to see the data behind it. And just like we saw with James Coates' trial, you had the Justice Center for Constitutional Liberty, I think is what it's called. I've interviewed one of the guys from there. But they were basically defending the charter freedoms of churches to operate. And in that trial, he said, we'd like to see the data that you use to come up with these public health demands on everybody. Well, we don't have that. We'll have to have some time to... Well, you've had these things in place now for over a year at the time. They were saying that. Well, we don't have it. We're going to need a lot more months to get that stuff together. So you put together this policy and you had absolutely no data behind it. And so the person who challenged that public health official in Alberta, she said, well, you know, rather than produce that information, which she didn't have, they're just making this stuff up, just like Michael Mann made up the hockey stick thing. Rather than having that exposed, they just quietly changed all their policies. So action on climate change is urged by medical journals. See how the two converge? You've now got the New England Journal of Medicine. You have the CDC out there saying that climate change, just like gun control, is something that falls under their purview. Just like mortgages and rental agreements and everything. See, there isn't anything that you can't make an argument that it somehow affects somebody's health somewhere. And if you accept that basic fundamental premise of the medical dictators, we're done. The CDC has shown a willingness to eradicate all private property rights and all private contracts. They've shown a willingness to control all of our movements, to shut down and destroy the middle class and Main Street businesses. They are now showing a willingness to jump into gun control again and to also get into climate change. And it's being pushed by the usual suspects. The New England Journal of Medicine, the Lancet, the British Medical Journal. All of these are warning that current efforts are not enough to address health problems resulting from rising global temperatures caused by emissions of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. We had, talking about malarkey, We had now Senator Markey out of Massachusetts was doing a dog and pony show with Lisa Jackson, who was then the head of the EPA for Barack Obama. They had put together a little dialogue, and actually you could tell it very easily because he stepped on some of her lines. And the two of them had conspired. She was kind of shamed out of office because she was using an email alias to do things surreptitiously. But, you know, things have changed quite a bit, haven't they, in just a few years. But they had congressional hearings where she said more people are dying from fine particulate matter. You know, the stuff that's coming out of diesel exhaust and barbecue grills and fireplaces. More people are dying from that than are dying from cancer and heart disease. Same type of stuff we're seeing now with CDC. Same kind of stuff that was pushed by Mike Adams last year about the CDC. See, more, everybody's dying from COVID. Nobody's dying from flu or heart attack or any other respiratory illness. Everything is COVID, more than cancer. And she was saying that about fine particulate matter. And he said, are you sure? Oh, yes. Yes. And then he was a congressman. She said, no, I'm not saying they're getting sick. They're dying from this stuff. And so they're bringing all that back. The Markey, the malarkey. This is the malarkey tour. One in every three Americans, says Biden, has been victimized by severe weather. motioning to Schumer and saying, I'm working with Congress to pass two important pieces of legislation that'll push this through Congress. As he wrapped up his remarks, he apologetically told the cluster of Democrat officials behind him that he, quote, I didn't get to mention all the names of whoever you people are. He didn't say whoever you people are. He didn't know who they were. So he didn't mention their name. He didn't know what he was doing. And he dismissed the people who were heckling him, saying they did not understand. He said none of them were shouting or complaining. Every one of them were thanking me as if it was something special. They were giving him one-finger salutes. They were waving flags that said F. Biden. There was absolutely nothing there. You know, he said, a lot of these people think that I'm taking orders. And, that simply isn't happening. As Babylon Bee says, seriously, can he find a person who can put better words in his mouth and tell him better decisions to make? Republicans call for impeachment of whoever's telling Biden what to do. And in the Babylon Bee article, Biden says, well, the notion someone is controlling me and telling me what to say and what to do, chewing my food and changing my diapers is absolutely ridiculous. Well, I guess that depends, doesn't it? It depends on who you ask whether they're changing his diapers. But here's what's really reprehensible in the policies of whoever it is that is telling Biden what to do. Axios reports the Office of Management and Budget urged Congress to provide $6.4 billion for Afghan refugees and $14 billion for relief for natural disasters that took place prior to Hurricane Ida. I don't know. Stephen Miller says it's scandalous that Biden is linking disaster relief for Americans with a slush fund to resettle random, unvetted, unscreened, unverified, unauthorized Afghan migrants across the United States. Biden is holding relief for American storm victims hostage to his radical migration agenda, which just goes to show that if you want the government to leave you alone, you have to get stranded in Afghanistan. We'll be right back.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
Whether you're feeling like the blues or bluegrass, APS Radio has you covered. Check out a wide variety of channels on our app at APSradio.com.
All right, let's take a look at the sage. And I guess, you know, we could call Fauci the Surgeon General, because it's always surges. We got surges here, we got surges in general. And, of course, they always go back to the tests. And so it was last week and that I talked about some important research from John Rappaport. As I've said before, I was reluctant to say that they didn't have a virus. We have seen that there is something different that is going around with people and does need to have some treatment, does not need to have vaccines, does not need to have remdesivir. But there's something that is going around. Nevertheless, this whole narrative about the only, you know, well, first it was this novel, everybody was dying of the novel COVID virus, and now they moved on to the variants. And now everybody's the Delta variant. And the one that's coming is the Moo variant. So, you know, get on all fours and Moo for Fauci. John Rappaport, last week, I covered the story. And if you don't remember, I'm not going to go into it in detail to repeat it. But you should, I did post it up as a separate posting on all the different video platforms that we're on. Talking about the fiction behind the PCR test to start with. It's not simply the fact that they were, it would be bad enough if they had multiplied the PCR test by cycle threshold of 40. That is 2 to the 40th power. It's over a trillion. It's 1.1 trillion, as one listener pointed out to me. I just say it's a trillion. I round it. And, but, you know, that's a cycle threshold of 40. It means that you multiply, that you double it, then you double it again, then you double it again, then you double it again. And so at the level that they're doing it, they've always said, well, you can't take it up above maybe 30 at the most. Fauci's on record saying something to that effect. They dropped it to 28 for the people who are vaccinated, but they've kept it at 40 for the unvaccinated. There is that difference in the way they identify positive cases now between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, and there's many more differences as well. But the fact that people are writing them and saying, do you have an isolated COVID virus? And they kept saying no everywhere. And then we had the health official in Alberta, as Dr. Merritt was talking about, saying, yeah, they caved on the regulations there because they asked them for the variant, or for the isolate. They didn't have that. They wouldn't show their data. But then it got even worse, and I think this is the key thing that I think is now valid to talk about this. We had, as they talked about changing the test and saying, well, we're going to end these PCR tests as they are now. We're going to withdraw the emergency use authorization for these PCR tests, and we're going to switch to some different ones come December. So it's like, why are they still using these things then? Well, they said, well, we want to have a test that's going to test for both COVID as well as other respiratory diseases that are currently not being looked for. That was their explanation. But if you actually read the documents from the FDA, they say we have 59 tests and we cannot compare the accuracy of them to each other because they're all testing for something different. What? And that was the key thing that John Rappaport reported on. That's a key finding, to take a look at that, to look at the detail in that FDA report. So kudos to him for identifying that key piece of information. They go on to say that they made different assumptions because they didn't have anything. They made different assumptions. And they said, sometimes, you know, we took partial mRNA fragments. Sometimes we took whole genome things that we looked for. Sometimes we just synthesized it. But everybody's looking for something different, so we can't say that somebody's test is better than somebody else's test. We can say that when we look at these things, we find that some of them identify more with people who are sick than others do. But it's total garbage. They don't have a standard that they're testing to. They've got 59 different PCR tests. They're not looking for the same thing in any of them. And then they're magnifying the viral debris by a factor of a trillion. The whole thing is absolute nonsense. And then we get this, you know, John Rappaport jumps into what I have talked about, the fact that there is no Delta variant identification. And this is coming from the Texas Department of State Health Services and their frequently asked questions. I reported last week, or maybe the week before, the fact that there was an article by, it was the association of all these different, National Association of all these different test laboratories. They were saying, well, people are really upset because they want to know if they've got the Delta variant or if they got the original thing, and it makes a difference to them. But, you know, legally, they're not allowed to tell you. And then they started quoting in the article the people from this National Association of Test Labs, and they said, well, we don't have the tests, and they don't really work, and, you know, we don't have the time to do a genome sequencing to determine if this is a variant or anything. So we're not even looking at that. So how do we have the narrative that's coming from our Surgeon General that we got the Mu variant or the Delta variant or the Lambda variant? They're surging everywhere. Well, here's the way the Texas Department of State Health Services points it out from the article by John Rappaport. Quote, how can I tell if I have the Delta variant? Do labs report that to the state? Well, says the Texas Department of State Health, that information may not be readily available. The PCR viral tests that are used to determine if a person has COVID-19 are not designed to tell you what variant is causing the infection. Detecting the Delta variant or other variants requires a special type of testing called genomic sequencing. Due to the volume of COVID-19 cases, sequencing is not performed on all viral samples. However, because, listen to this logical argument that the Texas State Health Department says. So we're not testing for these. It requires a special test. We don't have the tests. We don't have the time to do the tests. And I've talked about this one. This is the way they were every year about the flu. Well, here's a number of flu cases, and here's a number of flu deaths that we had. You should get your flu shot. Well, did we test those? No, we didn't test. Don't send the thing. I've shown you the documents in years past where they send the thing out to doctors and to healthcare providers. Don't send us the swabs. We don't have the tests. We don't have the time. And they're saying the same thing about the Delta variant, right? And so this is what, continuing on with the Texas State Health Department, they say, however, because the Delta variant now accounts for the majority of COVID-19 cases in the United States, how do they know that? There is a strong likelihood that a positive test would result indicates infection with the Delta variant. This is circular logic. This is what this is called in critical thinking. This is circular. Well, we know that most of the cases are the Delta variant. How do you know? Well, it's because the Surgeon General told you that. Yeah, we got surges everywhere, and these new surges, they're the Delta variant. Therefore, if you're sick, it's the Delta variant. It's the same logic they were using a year and a half ago. Well, we know that COVID-19 is everywhere. We ain't got a test. And the tests that we got don't work. And we got bunches of them, and they're all testing for different stuff. But you know what? If you're sick with a respiratory illness, it's the COVID. It's COVID. It's everywhere, right? Surging. We're surging everywhere. It's the same argument, same game, the same MO from the usual suspects. The CDC selling vaccines, Fauci selling fear. We should call we should start spelling Fauci with a P in front of it, like Pfizer, you know, Pafauci, who is selling Pafear and Pharmaceuticals. I mean, these people, they are Pafascists, aren't they? Just start putting a P in front of all of there. So just so we get the connection that this is all going back to a greedy corporation named Pfizer and others of its ilk. That's what this is all about. All of the fear, all the fascism, all the Fauciism, all the FDA, just put a P in front of all that. The PFDA, the P Fauci, the P Fascism for Pfizer, for the profits. So as John Rappaport says, well, I can assure you the number of patients whose samples are genetically sequenced is tiny. So there's no way to know that the Delta variant now accounts for the majority of COVID cases. That's just their assumption. And so then they apply that. Say, well, we don't need to test because we know that already. I don't need any data. Using the standard PCR, there is absolutely no way to know any specific patient has the Delta. It is all fiction. It is all fiction. You can put a P in front of that. It's perfection for perfear and for perfascism. To be excessively generous, it's John Rappaport. Let's say that 3 out of 1,000 positive PCR tests in America are sent to high-level labs where genetic sequencing is done. And I think that is very, very generous. A certain percentage of those sequencing tests come up positive for the Delta variant. Based on those results, they create models. Models. Do you remember how we got into this whole thing? Do you remember on that Friday the 13th, 543 days ago, Fauci comes with his data from a model that was done by the Imperial College of London. And John does point this out later on in the article. But he comes in with that data, and as I've talked about that endlessly, Fauci, shows that to Trump and says, well, you know, 2.2 million people are going to die according to this model. The model came from the Imperial College of London. Oh, well, okay, Imperial College of London, that's got to be real, right? That's very impressive. And it was based on a model that was not a curve. The guy who did it, Neil Ferguson, his model just showed that every person that got it was going to pass it on to another 2.5 people. Where did he come up with that number? Just made it up. Like the Delta cases, like the COVID cases, just made it up. So every person's going to infect 2.5 other people. And that was never going to stop. So it wasn't a curve, it was a straight line, if you will, or an exponential line. But it never went up and came back down. So the whole thing about flattening a curve was a lie if you're going to take a look at his model. Secondly, when he put it into the computer model, he put it into Fortran, of all things. And maybe that's why it was so buggy. As the University of Edinburgh pointed out, they ran his simulation. They said, every time we run it, even if we've got the same data, even if we have the same input, we get a different output. He started with a faulty model, and then he had a faulty implementation of that in Fortran. And so it was a complete fraud in every regard, just like the PCR tests are, just like the so-called tests for the variants. They don't have them. This kind of got blown out of the water last August when the American Hospital Association, AHA, said, well, you're not paying us our bonus for COVID patients? You said you're going to pay a 20 to 25% bonus if somebody is a COVID patient, if we get a positive result. And you told us at the time that you didn't have enough tests, and you told us that the tests that you did have didn't work, and you told us to do a clinical diagnosis. If somebody's got a respiratory illness, well, we said it was COVID, and you should give us a 20 to 25% bonus. And that, folks, is why the greedy hospitals and doctors were kicking out patients, because they could get a $13,000 cash up front and 20 to 25% bonus on everything they did to everybody if they were identified as a COVID patient. That's why when we have people coming in with a broken leg, first thing they do is give them a PCR test, see if they can get that bonus. So anyway, John Rappaport says, so now we're into really fake science. The models estimate what percentage of all positive PCR tests are really positive for Delta, and that's where it comes from. It's not based on any actual data. It's just based on a model, which says, well, I think that we're going to have X percentage of these things be Delta variants. So the Delta monster, as he said, is now loose amongst us. And you know what's even worse? Is the Mu variant. Yeah, Drudge Report yesterday had the big Greek letter Mu up there. Yeah, it's the Mu. The Mu is coming. All you cattle, you should be ashamed, you know, and should be ashamed of your herd mentality. this whole idea of herd immunity. But yeah, get on all fours and moo. Moo. The most notorious model in the world, as he points out, Neil Ferguson of the London Imperial College. And he talked about that again, saying that 2.2 million people are going to die. And do you remember Trump just before the election saying, I saved 2 million people? Still pushing that lie that was told 543 days ago. Let's take a look at another lie, of course, that is the big lie that went around the world about the ivermectin situation in Oklahoma. Glenn Greenwald is laughing at the former paper that he used to be associated with, The Intercept. He said they accidentally unearthed details on U.S. coronavirus research in China. So it's not just the ivermectin lie, but also the lie about gain-of-function research. And then to join the lies about the PCR tests and the Delta variant tests and all the rest of this stuff. He said that the National Institute of Health was served a FOIA request by The Intercept. And as Glenn Greenwald trolled them, and rightfully so, he said, this is amazing. In July, The Intercept had one of its most dishonest partisan hacks, Robert Mackey, basically call Rand Paul a liar and a deranged conspiracy theorist over and over again for suggesting that Fauci funded research that could have caused a pandemic. But yesterday, the very same Intercept admits that it sought documents about Fauci-funded research by EcoHealth, that's Peter Daszak's group, that, quote, raise additional questions about the theory that the pandemic may have begun in a lab accident. So the Intercept outlined the released documents showing grants that included efforts by EcoHealth Alliance President Peter Daszak to screen bat samples for novel coronavirus. Greenwald suggested that the Intercept initially wanted the documents from NIH to debunk Paul's claim and to vindicate Fauci over U.S. funding going toward the virus, but just the opposite happened. Greenwald said the documents the Intercept sought, which I'll bet any amount of money they thought would debunk Paul and vindicate Fauci, instead did the opposite. Oops. He said even when they accidentally do reporting that undermines, however, the liberal political causes, the Intercept editors have had to make sure that they stay loyal. They admit that Daszak's highly risky research was funded by the NIAID, that's Fauci's organization within the NIH, but they never once mentioned the name Fauci. Maybe they spelled it with a P in front of it. I don't know. Anyway, the director of that agency. It was missing from the Intercept's piece. Now, he's criticizing the dishonesty and the bias of the Intercept and covering for Fauci. Should we just dismiss this because Glenn Greenwald used to work for them and was pushed out because he was telling the truth? So that's what happens when I criticize not Fauci but Trump, and I criticize Alex Jones for defending him. You need to understand the people who are deceiving you. The Intercept, Fauci, Trump, Jones. You need to understand who these people are. You need to stop listening to these people, following these people. They are agents of disinformation. They are partisan hacks. The Intercept is as much of a partisan hack for Fauci as Alex Jones is for Donald Trump and most of the other conservative media. I would say Breitbart included. The National Institute of Health has not and does not now fund gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, said Fauci in May in a heated exchange with Rand Paul. But then this week, what The Intercept found was 900 new pages of previously undisclosed information from the NIH because of a FOIA lawsuit. And this is what they found. This is from The Intercept. Quote, the Bat Corona grant, the Bat Coronavirus grant, provided the EcoHealth Alliance with a total of $3.1 million, including $599,000 that the Wuhan Institute of Virology used, in part to identify and alter bat coronaviruses likely to infect humans. Even before the pandemic, many scientists were concerned about the potential dangers associated with such experiments. The grant proposal acknowledges some of those dangers. Field work involves the highest risk of exposure to SARS and other coronaviruses, they said. While working in caves with high bat density overhead and potential for fecal dust to be inhaled. Now, let me just say that when we're talking about people covering up for others, I think one of the best examples of this was the interplay back and forth between Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. When Stephen Colbert had Jon Stewart on, and he just trolled him endlessly about it. Well, you know, what is the name of this place, right? The viral instance. It says on there, coronavirus on the other. Not quite that, but I mean, again, Jon Stewart, a liberal comedian commentator, and then his successor, essentially, Stephen Colbert, who's become nothing other than a partisan lapdog, so devoid of any objectivity that he actually attacked Jon Stewart and said, so when did you start working for the Republicans? Whoa, when did you start working for, you know, Moderna and Pfizer and all these other people that you're cheering constantly, Colbert? This is what's happened. This is the trend. It's not a good trend. You know, I used to find Jon Stewart funny, even though I would disagree with him. I could still find humor in what he did. Stephen Colbert is not even funny. He's such a dyed-in-the-wool partisan hack, he's completely lost his sense of humor. And it was nowhere more evident than that interchange between Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. And now, you know, these people who are trying to cover for the left are now finding this as well. But let me interject here and say that even though I had covered gain-of-function research, even though I had covered all the risks and of these biosafety level 3, biosafety level 4 labs, the fact that there are hundreds of them scattered throughout the country, that this is an accident waiting to happen, the fact that it could be deliberately released, I still stand by the fact that what we're seeing now, I do not want you to take this information and go running for the hills, and we're all going to die, and please save me. That's the response of the left. And I think it's one of the reasons why this stuff is being put out there now, is because they want to ramp up the fear again. People have lost their fear because they realize this is not a pandemic. Yes, people are getting sick. We don't know if they're getting sick from this or from something else. We don't know if the people who are dying because they're being maltreated. They're putting them on ventilators and doing other things, giving them very dangerous and expensive drugs like remdesivir. Is it medical malpractice, or do we have something that is actually increasing? I say that it's medical malpractice. And I say that this is not a pandemic. I say that what we have is greed and mistreatment. I think what we've got is an epidemic of people being bled and fed mercury, if you will. That's what this stuff with the... Did we ever have a situation before? We've had MERS, and we've had SARS, and we've had swine flus, and we've had annual bouts with pneumonia and stuff. Have we ever had this kind of massive thrust of ventilators for intubation? No. And most of the people that they put on that die. This is simply about money. This is driven by the federal government. It was driven by Trump. Trump haranguing the companies for not making more ventilators. Telling General Motors, you got to stop. We're going to stop you making cars. I want you making ventilators, and you're not making enough of them. Shame on you. Well, there's plenty of things that you can shame the woman who is a CEO of GM right now, but that's not one of them, the ventilator thing. But it was Trump. He was cracking the whip. You make more ventilators now, more invasive ventilators. And, of course, that has not worked well. So I think that's really what we're looking at here. But I still think at the same time that all gain-of-function research needs to be shut down. And Fauci, who has lied to us about one thing after the other, needs to be shut down. But there's other aspects of this that are even more troubling. Richard Ebright, a molecular biologist at Rutgers University, of course, this is a university that's now telling a student who is at home 70 miles away that he can't take online classes unless he's vaccinated. That Rutgers University. A molecular biologist there told The Intercept, quote, the viruses they constructed were tested for their ability to infect mice that were engineered to display human-type receptors on their cells. These are humanized mice. See, this is another aspect of the reprehensible Nazi science that the FDA and Fauci in particular engage in, where they are making chimeras. And if you look at the chimeras, they have four different ones based on how mice-like they are and how human-like they are. So they've got a continuum here now that they've kind of quantized into four different levels. And how are they doing this? They're taking aborted baby parts and they're using them to make human mice chimera. And then they're doing these gain-of-function experiments to take pathogens and make them more deadly and more easily transmitted. I mean, how many different layers of Nazi science are we going to stack on top of each other? That's why I call it the Nazi Institutes of Health. So you're going to abort babies, you're going to buy the organs, put out a bounty for them, and then you're going to use that to create human mice chimera. Then you're going to test those human mice chimera by using a, creating more chimera to make coronaviruses more deadly. You're going to combine them with bats to make them more deadly. This is just unbelievable that any of this stuff would be happening. I think at the moment, we have so far dodged the bullet, but we better stop this stuff. And it is unbelievably reprehensible from a moral standpoint. Fauci needs to be shut down. It's not just because he lied under oath. This guy is a Nazi war criminal working on bioweapons, working on transhuman chimeras. He's got to be shut down. So as this guy says, Ebright says, the materials confirm the grants supported the construction in Wuhan of novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses that combined a spike gene, here's the spike again, from one coronavirus with genetic information from another coronavirus, and then confirmed that the resulting viruses could infect human cells. The materials reveal that the resulting novel laboratory-generated SARS-related coronaviruses also could infect mice engineered to display human receptors on cells, that is, humanized mice, he continues. He says, thus, it was not only reasonably anticipated to exhibit enhanced pathogenicity, but indeed was demonstrated, and he emphasized that, demonstrated to exhibit enhanced pathogenicity. In other words, gain of function. They take deadly viruses, like I've talked about many times, the one that escaped down in the National Primate Lab in Tulane, Burkholderia pseudomallei, very rare bacteria. But once you get infected with this thing, it's got a case fatality rate of 45%, much higher than even what they claim with a novel coronavirus. But that wasn't good enough for them. They brought it in, and they worked on gain of function. They decided they would weaponize it further, because 45% fatality of everybody gets infected with this thing isn't good enough. So let's make it more deadly, let's make it more easily transmitted. And that's exactly what they're doing with all this stuff. And again, notice that it focuses on the spike. And what do they have you, what are they training your body to manufacture? With these Trump genetic code injections, they're training your body to manufacture the spike. They knew from the very beginning, they knew even when they were doing this gain-of-function enhancement research, they knew it was the spike. The documents make it clear that assertions by the NIH director, Francis Collins, and the NIAID director, Fauci, that the NIH did not support the gain-of-function research or potential pandemic pathogen enhancement at the Wuhan Institute of Virology are untruthful, concluded Ebright in this piece for The Intercept. So they got 900 pages of new documents. They showed them to this biologist, and he said, no, that's gain-of-function, very clearly gain-of-function. So the FOIA release proves that the U.S. funded research of bat coronaviruses likely to infect humans, that it not only was designed to increase the pathogenicity, but they demonstrated that it did that. demonstrated that it did that. Fauci lied under oath. But let me just say this. Nothing is going to happen to him for that. You know that, right? We had James Clapper famously lying under oath, exposed 2 months later by the Snowden documents. He said, well, are you spying on Americans? Asked Ron Wyden, and he knew that was true. And Michael Hayden, the former head of the CIA, former head of the NSA, who has called those of us of a different political persuasion, he's called us domestic terrorists. He's compared us to the Taliban. He says we are the white Taliban and so forth. That guy, Michael Hayden, said, I blame Ron Wyden. He knew, and all of his staff knew, and all those senators knew, and all their staff knew. They knew that we were spying on all Americans. And he shouldn't have asked that question. Because it put James Clapper in a, Senator, not intentionally. No, it's just an accident that we're spying on each and every person in the United States. Never intended to do that. And, of course, that was a bold-faced lie. We knew it 2 months later because we had the documents. Now, here we are 2 months after the back and forth with Rand Paul and Fauci. And we get the documents showing that Fauci lied under oath, that both of them now committed perjury. What happened with James Clapper? Nothing. 5 years, and nobody called for him to be prosecuted for lying under oath to Congress and to the American people, because that was a substantial, I mean, this was not a side issue. This is not what the FBI typically does, trying to trick people and, what is your favorite color? What is your shoe size? What is the average airspeed velocity of a swallow? Monty Python. It wasn't that type of deal. No, this was substantial. This was to the point about them violating the law, the Constitution, and the liberties and privacy of every American. And then he lied about it under oath, and James Clapper was let go. Statute of limitations ended. That was in 2013. Ended 3 years ago. And nobody even brought it up. Now, Rand Paul has asked for the Department of Justice to investigate Fauci. He asked for that before this happened, and he's coming back talking about that because, Fauci said, well, this doesn't fit the definition of gain of function. What we did there was not gain of function, but it is. And we can see that now from the documents. It's very clear that they demonstrate they intended to do that. They intended gain of function, and they demonstrated gain of function. I think it's one of the reasons why you've got the National Geographic putting out a hagiography documentary for Fauci, turning him into a little icon. Kind of the same type of thing. Time Magazine makes Hitler the man of the year. Well, National Geographic pushes Fauci out there. Rand Paul tweeted out, surprise, surprise, Fauci lied again. And he linked to Richard Ebright's thread talking about that. And then said Senator Rand Paul, I have already asked the Department of Justice to review Fauci's testimony for lying to Congress. This report should make it abundantly clear that he needs to be held accountable. But, of course, he won't be. He won't be. Fauci is still out there selling his lies, his misinformation, his fear, his puffier, I guess we should say, saying that these people who are packing stadiums, these unmasked fans, I don't think it's smart, he says. Yeah, there you go. See, what is riskier? Creating humanized mice, creating chimera viruses where you take the most deadly aspects of the spikes and you weaponize them. What is more dangerous, that or people sitting in a stadium enjoying a game without a mask? Well, Fauci would say the latter. He says, there's going to be organizations, there's going to be universities, there's going to be colleges, there's going to be sports events, travel events, where the rule is going to be, if you want to participate, you get vaccinated. If not, sorry, you're not going to be able to do it. Do you see how this is a worldwide agenda? It's a worldwide agenda. It is a globalist agenda. It is all based on lies. Let me play for you again a little bit of what Dictator Dan in Australia said. These guys are on exactly the same page, and it is a total lie. They hate you. They hate your freedom. They're going to take everything from you if you let them.
From a situation where to protect the health system, we've got everybody locked down, we're going to move to a situation where to protect the health system, we're going to lock out people who are not vaccinated and can be. If you're making the choice not to get vaccinated,
no health care,
then you're making the wrong choice. You're making the wrong choice. And for safety's sake, and for the back to that point about how much work our nurses have to do, as this becomes absolutely a pandemic of the unvaccinated and we open everything up, it's not going to be safe for people who are not vaccinated to be roaming around the place spreading the virus. That's what they'll be doing. So there's every reason to get vaccinated. And there are appointments available, and there'll be even more appointments available throughout September, October, November. Let's get to those thresholds as fast as we possibly can. But yes, there's going to be a vaccinated economy, and you get to participate that. You get to participate in that if you are vaccinated. Now, that's not right now, because of course there's many more people who want to get vaccinated than we actually can get through the system.
But we got thousands of them waiting.
To a point where everybody who can get vaccinated will have been offered the chance to do so. And we are not going to have a situation, well, at least not in Victoria, where we lock the whole place down to protect people who won't protect themselves. These go and get vaccinated. There's 11,000 AZ appointments available this week, 2,000 Pfizer appointments available this week. We'll have more to say with those additional stocks coming in from overseas, but I want to run that down to zero so there are no more AstraZeneca appointments, hopefully very soon, and we can order more.
So you get the idea. Yeah, it's in such high demand that we don't have them. But, you know, we got 11,000 of this brand and 2,000 of that brand. Please go and take these things, because, you know, if you don't, you're not going to get any health care. We're not going to overwhelm our nurses and our health system with those of you who don't get vaccinated. And again, are we going to say the same thing about people who smoke? Are we going to say the same thing about people who eat junk food? Or you can name any activity that you could say, well, I'm going to deny health care to people about that. But then he goes on to say, we're going to have a vaccinated economy, and if you want to participate in that economy, you've got to be vaccinated. So no health care and no participation in the economy. Fauci saying the same thing. You want to go to sporting events? You want to travel? Well, the rule is, if you want to participate, you get vaccinated. If not, sorry, you're not going to be able to do it. They're running off a global script. Folks, this is what's called a conspiracy. It is a criminal action. Conspiracy literally means to breathe together. These people have been conspiring, plotting, breathing together to lock the entire world down. And they've kept the world hostage. And they're escalating it. And so Fauci goes on to say, I don't think, talking about the college football crowds, I don't think it's smart. Yeah, outdoors is always better than indoors. But even if you got such a congregate setting of people close together, you should be vaccinated. And when you do have a congregate setting, particularly indoors, you should wear a mask. And he should add, and no singing, because he keeps using that term congregate, right? He's talking about congregations, and he's going to shut down, if you let him, he's going to shut down churches again. I mean, they just had the city of L.A. and the state of California, each of them, give $400,000 each, total of $800,000, to the large church there John MacArthur had, because they were meeting for over a year, violating all of this. They were congregating together, no social distancing, no masks, and they were singing, of all things. And so you have people who are out there, the sports fans, you know, they're outdoors, and they're not singing, for the most part. Yeah, that's really more European soccer, where they're chanting and singing. That's not really the case in American stuff. But, you know, the people who were packed together, and again, older demographics for the most part, in the church, and they didn't die. It showed that it was a lie. And the only reason, I think, that L.A. and California pull back, and the only reason that you're seeing some of these schools opening up, is because of the recall election of Newsom. And now that you've got tens of millions of dollars poured into this campaign, and they're hitting everybody with the idea that you don't want anybody but Newsom, because if you don't put Newsom back in, you're going to wind up with a Republican, and the Republican is going to replace Dianne Feinstein when she can't function anymore, but when she's assumed room temperature, it'll be a Republican governor who will make her appointment, and that'll change the balance of power. So you got to vote for this guy because he's a Democrat. Vote for Newsom. Once all that stuff happens, you know, if he stays in office, he will put all the stuff back in by this winter. I guarantee it. That's one thing about Larry Elder and many of the other people running against him. They've made pledges that they're not going to do the lockdown. They're not going to do the vaccine mandates. But I can tell you that it is an implied promise that that will happen with Newsom. They're just right now pulling back from the churches. It wasn't just MacArthur's church that gave more than $2 million to other churches that they had attacked. And they're pulling back with that. They're pulling back from the school lockdowns just for the election, less than a week away. And then they're going to ramp it up again if he wins. So, yeah, Fauci is ramping this up to say that he's going to lock everything down again and lock people out of the economy. That's what they're all saying. It's a global conspiracy by these globalists and by their global corporations. They're taking everything from you. They're giving it to the corporations. They're taking all your money, all of your liberty. They did it with free speech, and that's a key reason why they were able to do this to you. And the other aspects is because they took your speech first, and all the conservative think tanks and libertarian think tanks like the Heritage Foundation, Cato Institute, they ought to be ashamed of themselves. They betrayed us as well. So let's take a look at what's happening in Vietnam. You say, who cares what's happening in Vietnam, right? I mean, we're worried about Afghanistan now. Well, this is what's happening in Vietnam, not the war, but this is a war that Vietnam is conducting against its own citizens, the COVID war. And it was a few weeks ago that I had a listener who was in Vietnam. He's an American, went back to visit his wife's family, if I recall. And he was talking about how bad it was in Vietnam, how they've locked things down. And now we've got a Vietnam court sentencing a man to 5 years in jail. For what? For violating these orders. They said, you know, he didn't practice the social distancing, and he violated quarantine regulations. So they're giving him 5 years in jail for spreading COVID-19. See, this is what's coming. The next stage of this, as I pointed out, I knew that they were going to start ramping up the cases. They would attribute what the damage that was being done by vaccines, they would attribute it to the unvaccinated and also to the variant. What I did not talk about was the fact that they would say, well, because these aren't working, you got to take even more of them. I didn't even think that they would be able to sell something that absurd. Well, you know, we gave you two shots. Now you're going to have a third one, maybe a fourth one, and fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth. We've seen the dance cards that have come out from other countries. I thought, no, certainly people aren't going to fall for that. But they are. They are. But I knew that it would happen sometime around the fall. Around the fall, they would start to say, well, we're going to approve it for the young kids, and we're going to mandate it for the young kids, because we'd already seen this with MMR. Saying we're not going to allow religious exemptions for kids with the MMR vaccine. You're going to take it or not go to school, not even to a private religious school, the Orthodox Jewish schools in New York. No, you can't even go to your own schools unless you get the MMR vaccine. And they had ethical issues. I think they might have had some medical issues with that as well. But, you know, you heard Trump. You know, Trump said, they got to get the shot.
Right. They have to get the shot.
It's going around, you know.
So important.
Yeah, so, you know, that was all a setup. It was a preparation. That was 2019, preparing everybody for the mandates, you know, for the lockdown and then the mandates of this year. The fact that, no, we're not going to allow religious exemptions, and they're pointing back to that. You know, see, look, even Trump said that. We mandated and we took away religious exemptions for MMR vaccines and so forth, so we're going to do it with this. So I said it's going to be the fall, and then you're going to see a big surge because everybody that gets sick during the winter with a cold, it's going to be COVID again. And so they're going to ramp down our freedoms. So it's coming, folks. The push, all this push that we've seen, incentivizing people, shaming people, offering you free donuts and $1 million lottery, that push, that ridiculous push, if that doesn't wake you up, I don't know what will, but that ridiculous push is now coming to shove. And this is the way it looks in Vietnam. 5 years in jail for spreading COVID. And he did spread COVID. They don't have any evidence that he got anybody sick. He just violated the 21-day quarantine regulations. They don't have a two-week. They got a three-week quarantine regulation in Vietnam. Really locked down hard there. I went back and I looked at the data for Vietnam. And I want you to see this. Here's the chart. Look at that. It was flatlined. This is a country of 98 million people, Vietnam. They had absolutely zero deaths, zero COVID deaths for 18 months. And then right around July, you had a little bit of an uptick, and then it shot straight up. What happened to cause that uptick? Well, in a country of 98 million people, you had zero COVID deaths for an entire 18 months. Around July, you had articles that came out that said this: Vietnam accelerates vaccinations in the COVID-19 epicenter. Now, they did not have a massive increase in cases, but they did have the international vaccine organizations notice that they're not taking their vaccines. So they showed up and they created a media campaign. And they said this: Vietnam, with a population of 98 million, has so far administered over 5.3 million vaccine doses, but fewer than 500,000 people have been fully vaccinated. So they got busy. Right at that time, they started putting them out by the millions. And in a country of 98 million people, they had 0.5% vaccination rate. And nobody was dying. And then they started vaccinating people. And they still don't have a lot of people who've died. But immediately, within a month, it was shooting up to where they were having hundreds of people dying each week after the vaccinations began. Do you see what's going on here? Do I have to draw the dots for you anymore? Can I do it anymore? And again, the French epidemiologist, she collected data from all these different countries. This is exactly the same thing that we saw in Mongolia. That's what I mentioned yesterday. I said, you look at the difference between Israel, the highest percentage of people who have been vaccinated, and then you look at the Palestinians right there, same place. Those two populations are not that isolated. If it's a real pandemic, they're not isolated from that standpoint. In the Palestinian areas, you've only got 10% of the people vaccinated. It's higher than it is for Vietnam, where you had 0.5% of the people vaccinated. And yet, where are we seeing the surge? We see the surge in Mongolia when the vaccines start. We see the surge in Vietnam when the vaccines start. So Vietnam and Mongolia when the vaccines start. And then we don't see a surge in Palestine, the Palestinian areas. We see a surge in the Israeli area, the most highly vaccinated area in the world. So, as I said, push is coming to shove. And if you don't think these globalists are willing to lock you up, all right, they're not going to just lock you down, to paraphrase Dictator Dan in Australia. They're going to lock you out of the economy. And they can't have you just roaming around, which means they're going to lock you up. They're going to lock down the economy, they're going to lock you up, and they're going to lock you out. You know, when you look at what we have here, we have the U.S. quarantine stations. Actually, see if you can pull up this map, Travis. This is the CDC has already set up 20 quarantine stations around the country. They've got 18 of them that are staffed already. Dallas and Boston are not staffed. They have the centers, but they have Houston and New York are where they are, have them staffed, and they're kind of adjuncts to it. But they have a map here, and they've drawn out where they want people to be placed for these quarantine stations. So the one that is in Houston, that is East Texas and L.A. Then you got one that's in Miami, for example, and that would cover anybody from Florida, Alabama, Mississippi. The one in Atlanta would take people from Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee, and so on. So they have 20 regional quarantine stations. And this is from the CDC's own website. Can you pull that map up, Travis? They're staffed with medical and public health officers from the CDC, managed by the CDC's Division of Global Migration and Quarantine. They said these health officers decide whether ill persons can enter the United States and what measures should be taken to prevent the spread of contagious diseases. So they say, well, you know, this is to take care of people who are coming in the border. Except they're not doing that. They're not doing it on the southern border. They're bringing people in. They don't test them. They fly them everywhere. They don't send them to quarantine camps. They release them into the general population. They're not vaccinating them. They're not masking them when they fly them. They're just, putting them out. And then, of course, we have the Afghans that are being brought in. Are they being brought in and sent to these CDC quarantine stations that we're being told these things were set up to protect the border? No. So what are these camps for if they're not using it for people that are coming in to quarantine them and to see if they have this? I said, port officials, airlines, cruise lines, but they're not using them, right? I've talked before about the green zones. They have a plan going back to February. Then they upped the plan again in February of 2020. Then they did it again in July of 2020, talking about the shielding approach, taking three different approaches, the household level. We isolate people in their homes. Well, we've seen that kind of happen, right? And then, telling people they got to stay apart from each other, 2 meters, that's 6 feet. So at the low risk, we're just going to do that. We're going to tell people to isolate at home and keep social distancing. The next level is locking down neighborhoods. And you've seen this type of thing happening in Australia where they tell people you can't go more than 3 miles. You stay in your neighborhood. And then the next step are the camps. The camps. And that is now being prepared in Australia. And I showed you this yesterday.
Howard Springs near Darwin is held up as the gold standard
of
quarantine.
It's massive.
Separate cabins.
Look at that. This looks like a permanent facility.
Catering. And so far, no known breaches. But the Queensland government reckons
and they're building more.
Do better.
This is going to be a great boost for our defence against the Delta virus.
State Cabinet has signed off on the WellCamp facility, first proposed 7 months ago. Businessman John Wagner will build it next door to his airport.
We will have the first 500 beds operational before Christmas.
The state government will lease it and run it. The cost to
So you understand. And they go on to say, well, we got another facility not too far away, 2,000 beds. How many people have died in Australia? About a quarter of the population of Vietnam. They claim, their claims, and of course we know how their claims work. Anybody that died with COVID, died from COVID, and if you died sooner than 2 or 3 weeks after your vaccine, you're not counted as a vaccine death. But, if you die within 30 days of a positive PCR test, you died from COVID. Well, according to those numbers, they've had less than 1,000 people who've died in the 18 months, but they've already set up 2,500 beds to isolate people, and more are being built all the time. So this next level, the camp sector level, and again, I'm reading from the American CDC plan. This is a global plan. It is a global conspiracy. And just as you see in Vietnam, they're willing to put a guy in jail for 5 years because he violated quarantine. They're willing to put you in jail if you don't get a vaccine indefinitely. And we've heard this. We heard this from Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand last year. Well, we're taking these people, and if we think that they test positive, we're going to stick them in a camp, and then we're going to tell them they've got to take the test. And if they pass the test, they get out. If they don't want to take the test, they stay in. Now, just substitute for the test, the test, substitute the jab. We round up these people. They've been given an opportunity to get the jab. We can't have them just roaming around, as you heard Dictator Dan say. So we're going to put them in the camps. We're going to have a vaccine economy. If you want to participate in the economy, if you want to get out, and if you want to roam around, you're going to get the jab, right? No jab, no job. No shot, no shop. Oh, yeah, I've shown you that clip as well. So this is where it's coming. Now, you have, they say currently, and this is when they wrote this in February, and they also said that in July. We don't know if prior infection confers immunity. In other words, they're not going to count natural immunity. Somebody that gets this and recovers, we're not going to count that. And again, remember, the purpose of a vaccine is just to train your immune system. If your immune system has fought off and recovered any kind of sickness, your immune system has been trained, and it does not forget. It does forget if you give it vaccines. That's why they keep re-upping these vaccines. They say household-level shielding, this is, again, reading from the CDC stuff, household-level shielding seems to be the most feasible and dignified, as it allows for the least disruption to family structure and lifestyle. And they said, in humanitarian settings, in small villages, and sector blocks, or camp-level shielding, may allow for greater adherence, however, to proposed protocols. These are the medical dictators who are seeking to imprison you. And I don't mean that metaphorically. We have seen a metaphorical imprisonment this last year. It's the push is coming to shove. And we can see this in the rhetoric going back in the Trump administration. The other Surgeon General, right, Adams, who was a protege of Mike Pence, he said a year ago, he said, we need to help people understand that this freedom argument is bunk. That was Trump's Surgeon General. He said, at the end of the day, we are losing freedoms because people are unvaccinated. See, we're the problem. Everything is blamed on the unvaccinated. We're the ones who are spreading the disease. We're the ones who are taking everybody's freedom. We have to be put in quarantine. Except that the reality is that Oxford University, that created the AstraZeneca vaccine, again, in Vietnam, they did a test, thousands, I think it was over 4,000 people in their test. They said the vaccinated people had 251 times the viral load of the unvaccinated. They are the typhoid Marys. They are the ones who are getting sick. And they're getting sick from their vaccines. They're not getting sick from an imaginary variant. Not Delta, not Lambda, not Mu, none of that. That's all imaginary. They're not testing for any of that. He then threatened, Adams then threatened to remove freedom because to him the argument is bunk, meaning we don't have freedom. Anybody paying attention should know that now we are literally slaves. And again, the case that Dr. Merritt talked about in Alberta. Alberta is lifting much of its remaining COVID-19 restrictions in the coming weeks. Chief Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Dina Henshaw, in her first COVID-19 update since June 29, announced that starting August the 16th, people who tested positive for COVID-19 will not be mandated to quarantine anymore. Additionally, Albertans with COVID-19 symptoms will not be asked to get tested, but to stay at home until they feel better. This is part of a shift in the province's public health response as it moves to lift a number of measures related to quarantine, isolation, and masks. So close contacts of COVID-19 cases will no longer be mandated to quarantine. Masks will not be mandatory in public transit, on ride shares, or on taxis beginning August the 16th. So again, that was what Dr. Merritt talked about. And it's the backstory is that the Alberta citizen named Pat King went to court after he was fined $1,200 for violating a COVID law banning more than 10 people assembling together. In court, a month before she lifted this, in the middle of July, he subpoenaed the chief medical officer, Dina Henshaw, to present the court with material evidence that COVID existed. Henshaw and the Alberta provincial government could not produce the material evidence for the isolation of SARS-CoV-2. Same thing that happened with James Coates. Snopes debunks the idea of these green zone concentration camps proposed and written up by the CDC. They say, well, this is a document that was done in July 2020, and they haven't put anybody in them, so therefore, not a problem. Here's the difference. In Australia, they're bragging about it. In America, they're just covering it up. They said it should be noted that in the months since the publication of the document, 4 months in the publication, they wrote this in November of last year. And, you know, of course, the initial Green Zone plan predated even Trump's order of a national emergency. But they said in the 4 months, so they wrote this in November, they were referring to the July update of what they had put in February. No such green zones or containment camps have been constructed that we know of. It's only in Australia that they love to brag about this. And is it really the case that in America we're not going to have people denied health care? Well, it's already happening. Take a look at a South Florida doctor, yet another one coming out saying, I'm not going to treat the unvaccinated. NBC Miami reports Dr. Linda Maricini said she'll no longer treat unvaccinated coronavirus patients, arguing that their presence could potentially infect immunocompromised patients and hospital staff. Again, if this doctor knew anything about the research, she would know that the people who developed the AstraZeneca vaccine, Oxford University, they were also involved tangentially in this bogus simulation that was given to Trump to lock everything down. But Oxford University said 251 times the viral load is what the vaccinated people have. But no, she's going to blame it on the unvaccinated. You know, forget about the data. We're going to pretend that doesn't exist, and we're just going to go with the pronouncements of Fauci, the known proven liar. She referred to the unvaccinated in her letter, saying she's going to stop seeing these people. She called them uninformed, selfish stalwarts who refuse to believe in science. She said this is a public health emergency. The health of the public takes priority over the rights of any given individual in this situation. Do you really want to go to a doctor like that? I wouldn't. I'm grateful for people like this Dr. Maricini coming out and showing what they are, flying their flag. I don't want to go to anybody who is so profoundly ignorant, so profoundly biased and uninformed, who has violated their oath, their medical oath to treat people. Seriously. I mean, what other infectious diseases is she going to refer to, refuse any treatment to people? I mean, I can think of a long list of infectious diseases that she would just refuse to see sick people. Maybe she's in the wrong business. Or maybe she's just there to make money. Not to, the hypocritical oath that she took. So she said, the health of the public takes priority over the rights of any given individuals. It appears that there is a lack of selflessness and a concern for the burden of health and well-being of our society. You know, there's a lot of selfishness in this doctor, and there's a lot of her concern about following the public health officials. Here's the cynic in me. I look at this and the fact that she would publicly do this instead of one-on-one to people. But she'd make a public issue out of it, that she would go to NBC, and I would say, I think this woman is angling for a public health appointment. She'd like to be a public health official there in that little pond where she is, or maybe at the state level if the Democrats get in, or maybe a federal government position. I think that's what this woman is doing. She goes on in her letter to say there's been an overwhelming amount of research on this vaccine in multiple countries. No, it hasn't. These vaccines have been tremendously funded. Well, therefore, you know, there's a lot of money in this, right? That's part of her calculation. She said hundreds of millions of patients have received the three vaccines. That is a big test, but it's still a short-term test. And that doesn't pass the standards of the FDA, and it shouldn't pass your standards either. A bigger short-term test is still a short-term test. It doesn't change anything. And oh, by the way, we've had more people in this short-term experiment conducted, very large experiment conducted. We've had more than twice the number of people reported in terms of death and injury. More than twice the number of people reported in this short-term test than in all of the vaccines combined over the last 30 years into the VAERS system. Hundreds of millions of patients have gotten this in this country. Well, so what? Yeah. It doesn't matter how many people die, how many people are crippled with this for life. Press on. It does. We don't care. That is unprecedented. Hospitals and healthcare systems are so stressed. The Delta mutation, she says, and subsequently our prolonged issue dealing with masks and distancing and vaccine hesitancy, not to mention disinformation, people like me, she wants to get rid of. This is a person who is either profoundly uninformed or dishonest and greedy. We have exchanged our brown shirts of 1930s Germany for white lab coats and these puff-fascists. But it's not just one isolated doctor who may be angling for some kind of a public appointment. It's the state of Idaho. The state of Idaho. A state that has a Republican governor, Brad Little, and a Republican legislature, one of the states that has taken people's freedom consistently from the get-go. Idaho hospitals began rationing health care amid COVID surge is the headline from the AP News. That's not an accurate headline. The reality is it's the state of Idaho, and it's a Republican governor in the Republican House that is doing this. This is not something that's being done by the individual hospitals. And again, most hospitals are owned by counties and governments now. You know, there's private hospitals, but there's a lot of limitations put on what those private hospitals can do. They got to get certificate of needs. They got to get permission for any kind of expansion or adding any equipment. If they want to add an MRI machine, if they want to add additional beds or whatever, they've got to ask their competitors, the county-owned hospitals, for permission to do that. No problem there, right? But this is the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare. Quietly enacted the move on Monday, and with cooperation from the Associated Press, they didn't point out that it's coming from the state of Idaho. They announced and warned residents that they may not be able to get care if they need to be hospitalized. State health agency said there's a severe shortage of staff. Late last month, Governor Brad Little called in 220 medical workers available through federal programs and mobilized 150 Idaho National Guard soldiers to help hospitals cope with the surge. Do you see what's happening here? Again, that executive order, number 83, in Tennessee, Governor Bill Lee, the actions done by a Republican, the actions done by the guy in Georgia, is it Kemp? And then now this Brad Little guy, right? What did they do? In each and every one of these cases, they're bringing in National Guard, and they started this a couple of months ago. Why? Because they knew that there was going to be a phony FDA authorization, and they knew that that would be used by the hospitals. Why? Because these people are all working together. They knew it was going to be used by the hospitals to shove out healthcare workers who had been working without a vaccine for 18 months. Healthcare workers who had looked at the so-called pandemic on the front lines and had seen the effects of the vaccines for the last 6 or 7 months and said, no, thank you. I'll take my chances with the so-called pandemic instead of this vaccine. So they knew they were going to push these people out. And these Republican governors, one after the other, are bringing in temporary help. They're waiving the rules for people to work in hospitals. They're bringing in National Guard. What kind of hospital care do you think you're going to get if you have to go to the hospital? That's the only good news. You're going to go to the hospital. These people have become rapacious mercenaries, only interested in giving treatment to people that they can get a big cash bonus for, that they can identify as COVID, and then kicking out the real medical staff and bringing in these ringers because they will do everything they're told. So they're setting this thing up. They said at the start of 2020, Governor Little ordered a partial shutdown of the state, ordering some businesses to temporarily close. Like, he already closed the small businesses. He closed Main Street. Now, they're not shutting down the hospitals, but they're going to shut them down to the unvaxxed, but they're already shutting them down to the unvaxxed workers. So that's the next stage. First, you shut down the small businesses. Then you make unemployed the people who are not going to get the vaccines. And isn't it interesting that this is all happening at exactly the same time that they've removed the unemployment benefit extensions. So you pull back the extended unemployment benefits, and then you use that as another stick to beat people to take the vaccine. It's just coincidence, isn't it? It's just a coincidence that these Republican governors and the Democrat governors started pulling in the National Guard and other people to take the places of frontline workers, hospital, firemen, and police officers that they're firing everywhere. And then cutting the unemployment benefits for people at the same time they're slitting people's throats economically if they don't take the jab. Just a coincidence. Just a coincidence. Biden tomorrow will announce a six-pronged COVID plan. When asked if it's going to be more mandates, Psaki said, well, we'll give you more details about that later. Let me tell you what it's going to involve. It's going to involve massive cash flow. It's going to involve carrots, which will be a lot of money, like Trump did 543 days ago, and it'll be a lot of sticks. Meanwhile, 63% of the people believe the Biden administration botched the Afghanistan withdrawal. You should be mad about that. You should be equally mad about the 20 years we were left in. And you should be mad at the way that he withdrew. Absolutely no excuse for what he did and the way they did it. But let me tell you that he is paying a penalty for Afghanistan because the military-industrial complex and its mockingbird media have turned on him because they wanted to keep this war going forever. And it wasn't even an option. He didn't have a choice. Biden did not leave. We were kicked out. We got our behinds kicked by the Taliban. It wasn't an option to stay. It wasn't an option to stay last year. Trump negotiated this thing so that it would happen on Biden's watch, and Trump set up the rules to make sure that he would lose. I mean, just look at his family celebrating the fact that it was all over and they didn't have to go through this thing for another 4 years. Oh, yeah, he's fighting now to get back in, he says. He is grifting you for money. He set up all the rules last year, and he abided by those rules. Well, we're not going to have any big rallies. We're not even going to have an RNC convention. We're going to allow the ballots to be mailed out to people in a way that we've never done it before. We're going to have this massive corruption with a mail-in election. And then he used all that to make money, and he used his being kicked out, even as they were celebrating on January the 6th, that they're getting out. Yes, all right, we're going to Florida. We're going to hang out in Mar-a-Lago. Then he used that to grift again. So he's going to grab a bunch of cash. He spent virtually nothing to get elected this last cycle, 2020. Nothing of his own money. He's keeping all of that money. He did not want to be there. He took this hot potato and pushed it into the next administration. There was no way that Trump or Biden were going to stay in Afghanistan. The only question is they didn't need to exit with a Chinese fire drill and get people killed and leave Americans behind. So he is... people are right to criticize him for it. But the reason that he is paying a penalty is because the media has turned against him. And the reason the media, his friendly media, has turned against him is because the military-industrial complex is not happy about what he did. However, when you look at the coronavirus, his ratings have taken a little bit of a hit there, but not nearly as much. And Americans who have been locked down for a year and a half, for 543 days, still can't come to the grasp the reality of what is happening here, even as they're adding more and more chains to our hands and to our legs. We still can't come to the grasp this reality of what is happening. Can't even grasp the reality of how many more people have died. Again, as I said, when this all happened, you had 13 Marines dying because they changed the rules of engagement, because they told them to stand down and not to take out that suicide bomber with the drone that was locked on him, as a former official said. They let 13 people die. And that is a tragedy, and everybody knows each and every face and every name, that is except for Joe Biden. Everybody else in the country knows who they were. I've seen their faces multiple times. Have you seen the faces and heard the stories of the people who died miserable deaths the over 13,000 people who died miserable deaths from the Trump shots, from the vaccine mandates, from the pressure being put on people to keep their jobs, to keep their lives, to be able to participate in the vaccine economy, to take the mark so they can buy and sell and travel and get education. Have you seen those pictures, any of them? Have you even seen 13 cases of those people talked about? I've talked about them here. But as Stalin said, you know, one death is a tragedy, and a million is a statistic. And that's how people like Stalin and Trump and Biden get away with what they do to us. Over 7 million people lose unemployment benefits expiring today, just in time for the employer mandates to really kick in. What a coincidence, to punish the unvaxxed. And then hopefully, you know, to bring some of these people who've now been trained that they don't just want to stay at home, they don't want a job. You think you're going to bring them back in the workforce? No, no, they're going to be demanding that they be taken care of. Goldman Sachs has now cut its U.S. gross domestic product forecast for the third time in the past month. They see a major recession, depression coming. And you better understand what is really happening. So when we look at where this might go, here's one ray of hope. We see a cafe in Jackson County ordered the owner of the cafe to close because it received repeated violation of the county's COVID-19 orders, you know, from these dictators telling everybody what to do. This owner decided that what he would do is, or she would do, rather, according to the outlet, one of the photographers, this is reported by KSHB, and one of their photographers took a picture of the sign on the establishment's door saying, "We are now members only, and you have to pay a $1 fee to enter." Quote, "By entering this club, you admit that you are not a member of the general public, and by signing your name, you record your membership and your attendance. You also assume any and all risks of disease transmission." Why did they do this? Well, this public order by the public health dictator said, "Public accommodation shall not include a private club or a place of public accommodation that is owned and operated on behalf of a religious corporation, an association, or a society." So there you go. If you have something like that in your area, in your business, you can, I don't know, call yourself the Society of Fauci Scoffers. And you can say, "We are a society that is founded on the principle that we get together and we laugh at the lies of Anthony Fauci and these other public health dictators who are marching in goose step behind him." Last week, the cafe's owner refused to comply with a mask order. And continued seating her customers. She said, "I have not honored the mask mandate this round, and I did the entire last round. But she came in on Friday, and she issued me a warning, a ticket, and a court date. Same thing again on Monday, another ticket and another court date." In regard to the mask mandates, the owner said, "Well, it didn't work the first time, did it? It hasn't worked in 2 years. So why are you going to keep making restaurants and bars suffer? They've already suffered for so long." Well, there's many ways that we can skin this cat. And we should not despair, because justice is on our side. Truth is on our side. We need to work on how we're going to have a parallel society and also an underground society. And this isn't anything new. We saw during alcohol prohibition, there was a vibrant underground economy and something that wasn't even vital. We have seen the same type of thing happening for the last 50 years with the UN war on drugs. They created the schedules. They put the drugs in the schedules in 1961. It was Kissinger and Nixon, his puppet, who called it the war on drugs 10 years later in 1971. But this type of move to push against these people, this is going to be the way that we can navigate this. We can have an underground economy. We can have a parallel society. And we can go back to the speakeasies like it was 1920s.
Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News.
They say the hotter rock and roll is competing.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
All right, and let's talk a little bit about what is happening in terms of the toxic treatments that are coming out. We have over 100 youth in Ontario suffering heart inflammation following the COVID jab. These are people between the ages of 12 and 24. Heart inflammation conditions have been detected in these people immediately after the COVID shot. And as I mentioned, the friend that we had that had moved away from the area, we got to know them through the homeschooling cooperative that we had, and still trying to get this information to them because he had rheumatoid arthritis. He was being pressured by his employer, AT&T, to take the shot. And he succumbed to the pressure immediately, had these issues, was in the hospital over the weekend. As the communication came out, said, well, seems like the worst is over. It seems like we dodged the bullet this time. I just hope he doesn't have to take a second one. And yet, the conditions that he was suffering from went right down the list of myocarditis, inflammation of the heart. And again, that's a key issue with rheumatoid arthritis. It's inflammation of tissues and messing with your immune system as this thing does. But if you go down the list of symptoms of myocarditis, chest pains, abnormal heartbeat, shortness of breath at rest or during activity, fluid buildup, swelling in your legs, ankles, and feet, fatigue, and things such as headache, body aches, joint pain, fever, and a sore throat. Now, he had all of these symptoms, from what I saw, except for the fluid buildup. People are not being told by the medical staff that they are, they're not being warned about myocarditis. It wasn't even anything that she mentioned. I'm sure she wasn't informed enough to know about that. They're deliberately looking the other way. If you are aware of this and you start to treat it, there might be something you can do to help people once you have your heart damaged, it stays damaged, but you can keep it from getting worse, perhaps. But if you don't know what it is, and if the doctors are in denial about this, that is a much more dangerous situation. Just like the, you know, it was back August 26th that they finally admitted that BBC presenter Lisa Shaw died of COVID vaccine complications. Again, it was like a, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil about the vaccine. And we're going to ignore all of these well-documented and acknowledged warning signs. They did not treat her, and she died. It just began with her starting to have headaches. It wasn't nearly as bad as the reaction of our friend. Alex Berenson, this is a good example of why they kicked him off of Twitter. He's now on Substack. Pay no attention to the spike proteins behind the curtain. And that's really what this is. He talks about how dangerous that is and how they have known this for a very long time. They know that COVID-19 spike protein binds to and changes cells in the heart. This is research published 28th of August. Nobody's talking about this. And of course, you know, with Alex Berenson and other people kicked off of Twitter, I will put this out. Don't say anything bad about the virus. Research, they said, presented at the European Society of Cardiology and Cardiology Congress, shows this effect on heart cells. He said the preprint runs 26 pages, includes 56 footnotes. I'm not an expert on the structure and the function of heart cells, but as far as I can tell, he said, it appears to be meticulously documented, and it paints a troubling picture. Specialized blood vessel cells called pericytes have receptors called CD147s. The novel coronavirus itself cannot attack these CD147s and damage the pericyte cells. And that's that P-E-R-I-C-Y-T-E, not a parasite like a, you know, a tapeworm or something. But anyway, the coronavirus itself cannot damage it. The damage leads to clotting, and it leads to heart attack issues. But a free-floating spike protein, like the spike protein that the vaccine has our bodies manufacture, that can cause this. So if you have, again, think about this, in terms of the heart issues, in terms of the blood clotting issues, the spike by itself can cause this damage if it's detached from the coronavirus. But the vaccine is designed to create these free-floating spikes. And again, Fauci knew this. If you go back and you look at the gain of function, what were they doing? They were working on the spike. Then they put that in the vaccine. He says the researchers did not specifically look at a vaccine-generated spike proteins. They were looking instead at the potential for spike proteins in people infected with the virus itself to cause damage. But they were clear about the implications of its findings. They said, importantly, we show that the recombinant S protein alone elicits cellular signaling through the CD147 receptor in cardiac cells, thereby inducing cell dysfunction and microvascular disruption in vitro. And the spike protein looks and functions essentially the same whether it is generated as part of the virus or if it's generated because of the mRNA that is put in with the vaccine. A paper published in May showed that 11 out of 13 people had measurable levels of spike proteins in their blood following vaccination. And he shows the publication in his article. Spike proteins, says Alex Berenson, may be leaking into the blood after vaccinations and then damaging these crucial cells. Because we also know from the research papers that have come out of Japan that the vaccine and these the generation of these spike proteins is not limited to, it does not stay in the muscle where it is injected. Biodistribution is throughout the body, throughout the circulatory system and accumulating in organs. How frequently this off-target effect may be happening is unknown, but the real-world evidence shows that myocarditis link is real. Even the CDC admits it. In a saner world, regulators and public health experts would make researching this potential link a top priority. Unfortunately, the fanaticism around the vaccines has made an honest discussion of the myocarditis link and other potential problems harder. I would say it's not fanaticism. It is simply corporate fascism. Spell it with a P in front of it. It's like it's fascism, like the Fauci and the PFDA. And so when you look at vaccine deaths and injuries among teens, which is where we started with this, ages 12 through 19 in 2021, looking at it from the VAERS database, because I talked about it surging in Ontario, we see that for all FDA-approved vaccines historically, for the last 30 years they've been collecting data, these are for kids age 12 through 19. So in 2021, you've had 30 deaths, but for all the other 30 years combined, 4 deaths for all the other FDA-approved. I'm sorry, this is just for 2021. So 4 deaths from all other FDA-approved vaccines, but 30 for these in 2021. Permanent disabilities, 11 for all the other approved vaccines, 173 for kids 12 through 19 this year. Emergency room visits for all the other vaccines combined, 78. For these Trump shots, 3,575. Hospitalizations for kids 12 through 19 this year. All other vaccines, 36. For these Trump shots, 1,603. Life-threatening situations, other vaccines, 13. For these, 316. Blood clots, 3 from all of the other vaccines. For these, 84. Reports of rare body inflammation after COVID-19 vaccinations are being investigated in the European Union, not, of course, by the regulatory-captured FDA. These people develop what they call multisystem inflammatory syndrome, MIS. At this stage, there is no change, however, to the current EU recommendations. See, there they'll investigate it, but they won't do anything. Here, we don't even bother to investigate. We don't care. Hey, they got legal immunity. What are you going to do about it anyway, right? Damn the data, full speed ahead. Warp speed ahead, as a matter of fact. Teens injected with COVID shots have 7.5 times more deaths, 15 times more disabilities, 44 times more hospitalizations than all the other FDA-approved vaccines in 2021. That's what I just told you. And one of the vaccine manufacturers in their own test, Oxford University, the AstraZeneca people, again, I'll repeat it, 251 times the viral load. That statistic, I keep repeating it multiple times every day on this program because the mainstream media is not talking about that. That puts the lie to all these vaccine mandates. It puts the lie to the fact that the unvaccinated are the rats who are spreading the bubonic plague. No. It's the others who are doing it. There have now been more than twice as many deaths recorded following the COVID-19 shots during the past 9 months than all the other deaths recorded for all the other vaccines for the past 30 years. Again, for the last 9 months, twice the number of all the other vaccines over the past 30 years. Nursing baby died with blood clots and inflamed arteries following the mother's Pfizer shot, according to a VAERS report. A 6-week-old breastfeeding baby became inexplicably ill with a high fever after his mother received a vaccine, COVID vaccine, died weeks later with blood clots in his severely inflamed arteries. The 36-year-old woman from New Mexico said she received the first dose of the Pfizer jab June the 4th when she was breastfeeding her 6-week-old infant. She said, on July 17th, my baby passed away. The baby boy became very sick with a high fever June 21st when he was treated with intravenous antibiotics for 2 weeks in a hospital for what was assumed to be a bacterial infection. Because, you know, hey, look, it can't be the vaccine. Anything but the vaccine. It must be a bacterial infection. The VAERS report says that the hospital tests never found any bacteria, specific bacteria. There were culture negative sepsis, that's it, was their diagnosis. So, in other words, sepsis, we know it's an infection, even though we can't see anything there. We know it's a variant, even though we're not testing for it. We know it's COVID-19, even though we got 59 different tests and we don't have any isolated virus that we're looking for in particular, but we know it's COVID-19 and we know it's a variant and we know it's not the vaccine. And even though we tested for the bacteria, we couldn't find anything, it is a culture negative sepsis. At home, the baby developed further symptoms over the following week, including a swollen eyelid, strange rashes, and vomiting. So then he was diagnosed with atypical Kawasaki disease. A very rare disease, but of course this is an atypical rare disease. Anything but the vaccine. Most cases of Kawasaki disease are usually treatable. Most children recover from Kawasaki disease without serious problems, according to the Mayo Clinic's website. But on July the 15th, he passed away shortly thereafter from clots in his severely inflamed arteries. She questioned the role of the vaccine in her baby's death. She said, "I'm curious if the spike protein could have gone through the breast milk and cause an inflammatory response in my child. They say Kawasaki disease presents very similarly to the multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children that they're now seeing after COVID infections." She said, however, if they know, and listen, you know, this is one of the things they say when the advantages of breastfeeding is that the mother passes antibodies on. She says if antibodies pass through the breast milk, and that's a good thing, then why wouldn't the spike protein also go through the breast milk and potentially cause problems? Yes, that is precisely what is happening. Any proteins, said Bridle, the Canadian who exposed the biodistribution study from Japan that Pfizer did not want distributed, shows that the lipid nanoparticle carrier in its vaccine shows the ingredients did not stay near the injection site in the arm muscle, but dispersed to organs throughout the body. Bridle, the Canadian scientist who exposed that Japanese data, said that any proteins in the blood will get concentrated in breast milk. And we have evidence of suckling infants experiencing bleeding disorders in the gastrointestinal tract in the VAERS system. One VAERS report describes a 5-month-old breastfed infant whose mother received a second dose of Pfizer's vaccine in March. The following day, the baby developed a rash, became inconsolable, refused to nurse, and developed a fever. The report says the baby was hospitalized with a diagnosis of thrombotic thrombocytopenia purpura, a rare blood disorder in which blood clots form in small blood vessels throughout the body, and the baby died. Can't be the vaccine. Just a rare effect of some really rare disease. And no matter how many babies die of this, this has nothing to do with the vaccine. We will not stop. We will not study this. We will not consider it. A report to VAERS from Pennsylvania describes a 3-month-old infant who suddenly developed seizures 7 hours after nursing from its newly vaccinated mother. A 17-month-old baby girl developed hives, was taken to the emergency room, given medications, which she took daily to prevent hives. About 5 days before her mother had received the second dose of the Pfizer shot, the baby's hives subsided. So the mother gets the shot, they can't, you know, the baby gets hives, and it goes for nearly 30 days, it goes for 25 days. On the 30th day, the mother takes a second dose. The baby saw the dermatologist for hives that were from her face to just past her knees. They were worst under her arms and her chest and back. But, you know, had no connection whatsoever. Fauci, by the way, or maybe we should call him Dr. Mengele, has advised pregnant and breastfeeding women to take experimental COVID-19 shots. Just do it. Just do it. Listen to him. Listen to him. You know, this is a Jim Jones cult, folks. It's that level. Absolutely insane. So, not just fetal deaths, but babies who are dying after breastfeeding. And several of these, I won't read all of them, several of them dying or nearly dying in some cases from anaphylaxis shock. Again, this is because of the encapsulation. They used PEG, polyethylene glycol, to encapsulate this mRNA. And going back to last October, Children's Health Defense scientists, the organization that RFK Jr. is associated with, looked at that and they said, this is going to cause people to go into anaphylactic shock. They contacted the FDA, and the FDA said, contact Moderna, contact Pfizer. We don't care. They did, and the corporations don't care because they have absolutely no liability. Israel is pushing for the FDA to approve booster shots for Americans. Fauci says the third jab is coming September the 30th, 20th. not too far away. But Fauci, not even one clinical trial has been completed proving the effectiveness of boosters, nor detailing the side effect profile of a third or fourth shot, writes Information Liberation. Well, who cares, right? We don't care. I mean, we know that it's going to be effective for Pfizer's profits, for Moderna's profits, and that's all that matters. Why are you worried about the rest of this stuff? Ultra-vexed Israel now has the highest coronavirus case rate in the world, as I mentioned before. You got Sweden banning travelers from Israel. And yet it's not there with the Palestinians. Only 10% of them are vaccinated. They're not seeing the surge. But you're seeing that in Israel. And so Israel's saying a third, a fourth is coming. They've already started doing the third. They've already said you're not fully vaccinated if you don't have three. And a fourth one is coming, they say in Israel. And yet it's escalating. These people continue to do the same thing over and over again, even though it's A, not effective, B, making things much worse. They said the second worst hit country is Mongolia now. And that was at zero until they started the vaccination rates there. Just like I showed you before with Vietnam, you know, going back to the graph, look at this, Vietnam, zero, until they started complaining that nobody was vaccinated. They had a 500,000 out of 98 million people who had been vaccinated. So it's like, oh, yeah, well, we got to get up with that. So they started doing that, and it just shot straight up. So when we look at Gibraltar, for example, here's Gibraltar. By June the 1st, over 99% of Gibraltar's population was fully vaccinated. Since that time, new COVID cases per day have increased by 2,500%. Now, who is pushing for vaccine mandates for all travelers? Well, it's kind of interesting. It's a Democrat named Richie Torres and LGBTQ Nation. That's a website. Bragged about the fact that this guy is the first, he's not the first, but, he is the first. He is the first. He checks a lot of the different intersectionality boxes. He's not just homosexual. He is also black, and he's got a whole bunch of other things, you know, that make him a model legislator for these people. The first gay Afro-Latino elected to Congress. He checks all the boxes except for being female, and maybe he can pretend that he is and, you know, check the T-box for transgender. And so what do we get from somebody like this? Well, you know, LGBTQ Nation is bragging about it. He's pushing for a mandate requiring all air travelers to be vaccinated. And he says this, the TSA never allows people to enter planes or airports with a weapon. And the Delta variant is a weapon. It's an imaginary weapon. They don't test it. They don't have a test for it. They're not doing any test for it. We've seen this over and over again. We've got publication after publication. The Texas Health Department, as John Rappaport pointed out. We've seen it also from the National Trade Organization, these people who create the test. We don't have a test. We're not doing it. We don't have it, and we're not doing it. We don't know what these variants are. We're not allowed to tell you because, you know, we're pretending that this is happening. You know, did we ever do this? And I just have to say, since this guy checks all the boxes, he's the first gay Afro-Latino elected to Congress. Did we do this? You know, Fauci, his first rodeo with a PCR was the HIV-AIDS connection that he said. And at that time, because Fauci said that AIDS was caused by a virus, everybody was thinking, well, you know, we're going to get it from mosquitoes. Will they transmit it? Are we going to get it by being in close proximity to other people? And at that time, did we stop homosexuals from flying? No. Did we put them in green zone camps? No. Did we put masks on them? Did we tell them, stay 6 feet away from me? No. But this gay Afro-Latino wants to do that to us because we don't take a corporate product that hasn't been tested, but has been shown now in this massive short-term test to be the most dangerous vaccine ever devised. House Resolution 4980, if passed, calls for the Secretary of Homeland Security to ensure that any individual traveling on a flight that departs from or arrives to an airport inside the United States, this is not coming into the United States, but within the United States, they'll put us on a no-fly list if we're unvaccinated. That's what he wants to do. You must be fully vaccinated against COVID-19, or you will not fly. So what does that mean, to be fully vaccinated? Does that mean that we have to have 2 shots, 3 shots, 4 shots, 8 shots? What is, well, that's to be determined by your masters and the white coats. Torres defines somebody as being fully vaccinated as a person who's received all the recommended doses of COVID-19, which, again, is subject to change. He says the TSA never allows people to enter a plane or an airport with a weapon. The Delta variant is a weapon. It is a threat to everyone in the airport and everyone on the plane. So he sent the memo to Homeland Security, to TSA, and he is saying, I believe it's paramount for DHS and TSA to require this common sense step for passengers who are eligible to be vaccinated. So, we shall see where this goes. Before we take a break here at the end of the program for another 23 hours, I want to read a couple of letters that were sent to me. This one is from Don Shackelford, and I say his full name because I've already reported on his story. Last year, he said, you reported on my story last year. I was one of the first people in the country arrested for not wearing a mask. I was brutally arrested in a Boost mobile store. I remember that story. But I was found not guilty in court of trespassing. However, it looks like I'm about to be in another battle. My employer, Blue Cross Blue Shield, are slowly but surely seeking out their employees who are not vaccinated. Blue Cross Blue Shield made masks mandatory early in the pandemic. Let me insert something here, too, before I go continue with this story. Do you think this insurance company is going to start playing phony games, you know, like Delta is doing to their employees, saying, we're going to charge you another $200 a month if you're not vaccinated, because you could possibly get COVID, and that means that, you know, that could cost $40,000, $50,000 if we put you on a ventilator and so forth? Do you think they're capable of doing that? Oh, I think they are. So if you got insurance through Blue Cross Blue Shield or some of these other people, you may want to start to look at that as well. But I would just suggest to you, it's what we have found in our family, is that if you get with one of these health sharing services, that and we did that to avoid Obamacare. And what we found was that if you tell somebody that you're not insured, your expenses are not as high. You wind up paying more, and this is something that the LA Times talked about well before Obamacare. They talked about it as saying, well, we need to have Obamacare, and we need to have what Hillary wants to do, which is to take over all of health care. Do you really want these people now, these white-coated dictators, do you really want them? And the government officials and the public health officials, do you really want them telling you what you can and cannot have and what you must have? This is why you don't want to have the government doing it. It was never about the money. Never about the money for me. I've been fighting this Hillary care since the early 1990s. But if you get one of these medical share things, again, you pay an annual fee, and that's how they make their money, and then they give you somebody that is sick, and you send your monthly contribution directly to that person, so you know who it's going to. And with the Christian ones, they tell you what the problem is, so you can pray for them and so forth. And then when you go to the hospital, you don't have insurance, and so they don't pad the bill. As a matter of fact, as a cash patient, they'll usually give you a discount. That's what the LA Times found out before. They said, you know, the cash patients are paying less than the people who have health insurance and are paying a deductible out of pocket. Anyway, back to his story as an employee. He said, about 2 months ago, Blue Cross Blue Shield lifted the mask mandate if you are vaccinated. Currently, they have no way of being able to tell who's vaccinated and who isn't, and they've come up with a plan to figure out who is vaccinated and who isn't. Usually, the employees get a yearly profit-sharing bonus, but this year we did not. I knew it was not because of COVID, because last year was just as profitable, if not more so, than previous years. The reason we didn't get a bonus was because they use the money to figure out who's vaccinated and who isn't. If you've taken the VEX, then you are eligible for a $500 vexed incentive. That is where the yearly bonus money went. Isn't that amazing? Well, we're not going to give you your annual profit-sharing bonus. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to hold that money back, and then we're going to bribe you to tell us what your vaccination status is. And by process of elimination, we will kick people out who are not vaccinated. So this is just the first step in this. So it'll be a carrot, then it'll be a stick to knock you out the door. The incentive will be used to identify who is vexed and who isn't. Then once they have us all identified, they will understand what our total numbers are, and then they can make their mandate decision. My hope is that there's too many unvaccinated people for them to fire us. But with that said, I don't have much hope, and I realize that a parallel society is probably in my future. Don Shackelford, and he sent me a copy of the email as a verification. Yeah, very underhanded incentive slash mandate. And then I got this letter from an EMS listener who has written many times to talk about what he sees on the ground at the hospitals and how the hospitals are filling up with individuals who are paranoid and scared. Like the letter I just read the other day said, yeah, got a 20-something-year-old who comes in and says, well, I'm not tasting my food as well as I usually do, so I think I've got COVID. Oh, put him in a hospital bed. Yeah, give him a test. If a test positive, $13,000, right? Like that, right? And so those are the people who are filling it up. He's talked about how people come in with a heart attack now. They're giving them a COVID test first instead of addressing the heart attack. And so he said, and he's looking at, you know, not really sure what is going to happen in the company because the CMS company operates in conjunction with the hospitals, and the hospitals are being pressured by the government, and they're compliant with it. Again, because there's a lot of government regulation of hospitals. Like I said, even the certificate of need, you have to get their permission to add any kind of equipment or any kind of beds, anything like that, if you're a private hospital. If you're not a private hospital, again, you're being controlled by the government. So the pressure's flowing through the hospitals through all this, just like the money is flowing through the hospitals. That's why Trump incentivized the hospitals to be the epicenter of this fake pandemic. So the people who do business with hospitals, are now demanding that these ambulance services, the EMS and so forth, that they get all their employees vaccinated as well. So it's just a matter of time as he's looking at it. But he says, just wanted to share this story about God's protection in my life. He said, I've complained several times about being removed from our emergency response team at work because I refused to take the jab. The team that went in my place, however, was involved in a terrible accident, and one of them was killed. What my employer meant for evil, God used for good in my life. I'm not sure how God is working it for good with the families of the one killed and injured. But what I do know is this. God is good, and we need prayers for the families of our fallen co-workers. And, you know, a lot of times people ask, and I looked at this, he sent along the article. What it was is a couple of individuals. They were not in an EMS vehicle, but they saw somebody that was pulled over the side of the road having a problem, and they stopped to help them. And as they were pulled over the side of the road to stop and to help somebody, that's a very, very dangerous situation. Years ago, I was involved with a company that monitored highway usage, and they had in North Carolina, they had a service that would, whenever they would see somebody break down or have an accident on the interstate, they would dispatch these people to try to clear the accident as quickly as possible. A lot of times, even if somebody just had a bumper, you know, just tap bumpers or something, they would just stop there and call the police and wait. And what would typically happen is there would be secondary and tertiary accidents that would happen, sometimes very serious accidents that would happen. And so they tried to clear the road as quickly as possible, but it was a very, very dangerous job, and people don't realize how dangerous it is to be stopped, some of them, in the middle of the interstate. But even on the side of the interstate is a very dangerous thing. And so these two people were on their way to take supplies from Georgia to Louisiana for some first responders being deployed there for emergency medical services because of the hurricane, Hurricane Ida. And so they're traveling in a non-emergency vehicle The two emergency medical professionals came on the accident. They immediately stopped to render aid until other emergency vehicles could arrive. But then another vehicle came along and struck them, injured one of the guys, and killed another one. And so the listener is saying, you know, I'm just looking at this and thinking, that could have been me. I had a friend of ours for many years, and he suffered from a very, very slow developing cancer. It's a very rare form of cancer. He died very, very slowly from it. You know, it affected his leg, and, you know, he had to have an amputation and so forth. But he survived for probably about 15 years with that cancer. And one day, he was on his way to chemotherapy, and it was shortly after he had been diagnosed with it. And they said, this is a very rare form, and it's going to take a very long time, but we don't have any treatment. But, you know, we can try to delay this a little bit, but it's eventually going to get you. And it did. But he was on his way at the beginning of this diagnosis, and he was going down the interstate, and a 4x8 board of plywood or something like that went flying off of the truck in front of him and went right over his roof. And you know, it's a couple inches shorter, would have killed me, right? And he thought about it, and he said, you know, here I am, I'm thinking about this, and I'm going to get chemotherapy, and I nearly died from that. And, you know, the time that we have, we don't know, any of us, when we're going to die. And even when you've been given a diagnosis of terminal cancer, you can die of something sooner. And even if you're not sick, you can die in an accident like that. So our days are in the hands of God. And when we look at this, and we look at, many people will ask, all right, so that's great, God spared Handy, but what about this other person who died? Well, you know, every day that we have is a mercy from God. We all know that we're going to die. We don't know when or from what. But every day is a mercy from God. Because you and I both know that we have, we are not good. We don't deserve anything from God. So every day that we have on this earth, every day that God extends this, is an act of mercy. If it was justice, God would strike us dead the first time we disobeyed him. You know, you ever see, what's the guy's name? Ray Comfort. He does videos on YouTube. And he goes out and he engages people. And he says, you ever told a lie? Oh, yeah, told some lies. Okay, well, have you ever stolen anything? Well, yeah, not much. When I was a kid, I stole some things, all right. You ever use God's name in vain? Well, yeah, sure. Well, you just blasphemed God. What about, you ever looked at a woman with lust, or you ever had any sex outside of marriage? And, of course, all the guys would go, oh, yeah, sure, yeah. He says, well, I'm not judging you, but you just told me that you're a lying, thieving, blaspheming adulterer. So he goes, so if you're going to stand before God, what is God going to tell you? Well, you know, I just hope that he's going to let me. Oh, no, he can't let you go, right? Because he's just. But he's paid your fine. And if somebody pays your fine, you know, you get a whole stack of speeding tickets, the judge will let you go. Somebody pays a fine. Your fine's been paid by Christ, but will you accept that, is what he tells him. You know, we don't know when this is going to happen. And so God is very patient with all of us. If we got justice, each of us would have been dead, struck dead a long time ago, if you're honest with yourself. There's no one who's good. There's no one who obeys everything that God tells them to every time. And so when we look at this, the question is, what do you trust? And when will you be called to answer? Just like Candy saw this. It's like, wow, that could have been me. It could have been. But you know, with Christ, each day is a new beginning. And it's God's mercy. And so our question ought to be, not why a good person, I've known many good people. I've known many young people who died suddenly. And you look at that and you say, why would God take that good person out? Again, good from our perspective. Now the question is, why does God extend mercy to us on a daily basis? If we look at that from that standpoint, if we understand what is available to us as a new beginning, it puts all of this in context. And all of these issues that we're looking at in politics and the coming attempts to enslave us, you know, we don't know what the future holds, but God does hold the future. And we know that if we follow God, that he's made promises to us in this life. And so when you make that decision, God is going to change what you want. And that's the key thing. You're not going to be perfect. You're never going to be justified before God by the things that you do. But God will be able to change what you want out of life. All right, in the few seconds that we've got before the end of the program, I mentioned yesterday about the lies of ivermectin, and I just loved this Babylon Bee follow-up. In a new Dune movie, to defeat the sandworms, they use an extra-strength dose of ivermectin. There you go. So we have yet another use. This, by the way, is also off-label. It is not approved by the FDA to use ivermectin to get rid of the sandworms on Dune. That's it for today's broadcast. Thank you for listening. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.